Raging Waters. China, India, Bangladesh, and Brahmaputra River Politics. By Nilanthai Samaranayake, Satu Lime, and Joel Wuthnow. Introduction. Events in the past decade and especially during the past year highlight the need for policy makers and scholars of Asia and water security to pay more attention to the stability of the Brahmaputra River Basin. Originating in China, and flowing through India and Bangladesh, the river runs through three of the most populated countries in the world. China and India are major geopolitical players and fought a war in 1962 over territory that they still dispute and through which the Brahmaputra runs. In the summer of 2017, military forces of both countries engaged in a lengthy standoff due to a border dispute involving a third country, Bhutan. While the standoff was not directly tied to Brahmaputra Basin resources, the conflict resulted in Beijing halting data sharing to New Delhi for flood forecasting purposes. This is an important cooperative measure, considering no water management agreement has been achieved in the basin. Furthermore, China's attempt in September 2016 to block a tributary of the Brahmaputra in Tibet for hydroelectric dam construction alerted policymakers and experts in both India and Bangladesh to the potential for Beijing to wield undue influence on the two downstream riparian nations. Meanwhile, Bangladesh faced another bout of severe flooding in the summer of 2017, thereby highlighting the ongoing pressures faced by the country due to this river, which is also at the mercy of activities by the two upper riparian countries, India and China. Flooding also took place on the Teesta River, a tributary of the Brahmaputra that enters Bangladesh from India and for which New Delhi still has not concluded a water-sharing agreement sought by Dhaka. Even prior to 2018, voices from both China and India have increasingly stirred discussion for the last decade about the potential for conflict and the threats to human security as a result of water resource competition in the Brahmaputra Basin. Most prominent has been Indian author Brahmachel Laney, whose 2011 book, Water, Asia's New Battleground, raised alarms about China's dam-building efforts on the Brahmaputra. Shalaney's analysis was, in part, inspired by the controversy over a People's Liberation Army, PLA, officer's 2005 book, Zizengzhi Shui Ju Zongguo, Tibet's Waters Will Save China. Li Ling argues that upper riparian China should divert the Brahmaputra for internal use, despite the consequences for lower riparian states India and Bangladesh. Meanwhile, Bangladesh, as the lowest riparian, has long been concerned about activities by its northern neighbors that negatively affect its citizens and resources. Interestingly, India is both a lower riparian in this basin with accompanying threat perceptions similar to Bangladesh and an upper riparian similar to China. Regarding the scope of the book, we are focusing on the Brahmaputra River Basin, rather than addressing the wider GBM Basin. Observers have often included the Brahmaputra as part of the wider GBM Basin in their definition. This may reflect the fact that water security studies have focused on the Ganges as the primary unit of analysis and few have concentrated on the Brahmaputra itself. However, the Brahmaputra riparian countries entail arguably greater political, military and human security threats, given the sizable populations and complex historical and contemporary relations between China, India and Bangladesh. We also think there is legitimacy in keeping the focus on the Brahmaputra because a greater number of potential stakeholders could be involved if we used a GBM definition. Consequently, it would be very difficult to bring them all together to find solutions. For example, the United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization, FAO, writes, "In planning and management terms, it is simply impossible to consider the GBM river system as one system because of its sheer size, complexities, and multinational character." Furthermore, the World Bank's South Asia Water Initiative, SAWI, subdivides its South Asia project work, and one of its components is a separate Brahmaputra initiative. Therefore, we feel that it is more manageable to examine the subject at this level and that it is consistent with the view of expert institutions. A second issue of analytical scope involves the case of Bhutan. The region known as the Third Pole divides its water resources between several countries. The Brahmaputra Basin encompasses not only China, India, and Bangladesh but also Bhutan. While Bhutan has interests in the welfare of the Brahmaputra Basin, we are not studying the country as part of this book due to reasons of geography, population size, and political military independence and standing. First, the Brahmaputra does not directly traverse territory in Bhutan as it does through Bangladesh, India, and China. While technically in the Brahmaputra Basin, the country is not a riparian nation. Second, China, India, and Bangladesh represent 3 of the 10 most populous nations in the world. Their current and potential threats affect millions of citizens and have broader security implications. Bhutan has a population of about 750,000, compared with roughly 170 million in Bangladesh, 1.2 billion in India, and 1.3 billion in China. As a result, Bhutan carries with it comparatively less threat potential than the risk factors that we assess from the 3 major countries in the basin. Finally, Bhutan is not the geopolitical player that the other 3 basin countries are. Though Bhutan is a sovereign country, it has largely been under India's sphere of influence and heavily reliant on New Delhi for military protection. As a result of these 3 factors, we assigned equal analytical weight and project resources to field research in China, India, and Bangladesh. As such, we determined that Bhutan did not warrant the same level of attention. We hope that readers will find this book useful primarily for 3 reasons. First, it contributes to the burgeoning field of Asian water security analysis with a study of a river basin that has received little scholarly attention. A reader may wonder why this book focuses on the Brahmaputra River when, at least in South Asia, the Indus and Ganges basins have dominated the current study of river systems. For the Indus, the India-Pakistan conflict has elevated the importance of understanding the full spectrum of threats in the region, including water insecurity. The Ganges basin also has been a critical area of importance, given the hundreds of millions of people who depend on that river. By contrast, the Brahmaputra basin has been comparatively under-examined, despite the complex geopolitics involved and potential threats to regional stability. Covering an expanse of 580,000 square kilometers across 4 countries, the Brahmaputra basin comprises China, India, Bangladesh, and Bhutan, which, according to the World Bank, occupy 50%, 34%, 8%, and 8% of the basin, respectively. The river is the 5th largest in the world by flow, yet there is no water sharing agreement or management accord in the basin. Minimal information sharing about water flows has taken place between the countries for flood prevention purposes only. As a frame of reference, basin agreements have been achieved on other important transboundary rivers, such as the Nile Basin Initiative, the Amazon Cooperation Treaty Organization, and the International Commission for the Protection of the Danube River. Moreover, the river is a coveted source of water for 130 million people, serves a variety of purposes such as agriculture, fisheries, and navigation, and it is a potential source of much-needed hydroelectric power to fuel growing economies in the region. Given the river's importance and the fact its major stakeholders have not yet achieved a basin-wide agreement regarding the river's management, the Brahmaputra warrants greater analytical attention. Second, the book's particular contributions include integrating the study of a diverse set of issues related to water, international relations, and subnational politics in the Brahmaputra Basin, subjects that are not often analyzed together. In recent years, interest in Brahmaputra security among journalists and academics has largely emerged due to a focus on the bilateral or national implications of problems in the basin. Important foundational research regarding this basin has focused on various subcomponents of Brahmaputra security. This includes India-China security dynamics regarding their dam-building activities, India-Bangladesh discord over water sharing of the Teesta River, a tributary of the Brahmaputra, and water security within Bangladesh. At the other end of the spectrum, there have been several studies of water security in Asia broadly, but based on the reality that many of Asia's major river systems originate in China. Building on these efforts, we examine the universe of Brahmaputra stakeholders and study them cohesively. Specifically, we will focus on 3 sets of stakeholders. First, we will address the national stakeholders in each capital who interact bilaterally with their counterparts in New Delhi, Dhaka, and Beijing. In addition to these high-level parties, farmers and local officials also played a role. Second, we delve into the interests of the various sub-national stakeholders of the region, sometimes at odds with the leaders in their national capitals. These people live in such places as Arunachal Pradesh, Assam, and West Bengal in India, Tibet in China, and Rangpa, Mymensingh, and Rajshahi in Bangladesh. Third, we investigate the possibility of multilateral activities and agreements that would serve the various stakeholders across the Brahmaputra Basin. By adopting this approach and aforementioned scope, raging waters, China, India, Bangladesh, and Brahmaputra River politics fills a gap in the literature by transcending the analytical limits of state-centric or multi-basin paradigms through attention to the Brahmaputra at the basin-wide, i.e., beyond solely bilateral relations, level and at the sub-national, i.e., domestic, level, in addition to the bilateral level, all in one assessment. Third, the book aims to provide a common platform for interested parties, policy makers without training in hydrology and scientists without a background in the study of international relations to consider the water challenges faced by Bangladesh, India, and China along the entire Brahmaputra against the backdrop of their bilateral relations. We hope this book will inform policy communities in China, India, and Bangladesh as well as water resource specialists and academics internationally about the interconnected aspects of the political-military situation in the Brahmaputra River Basin and the potential for national water, energy, and infrastructure policies that could exacerbate interstate tensions and sub-national human security conditions in the region. To provide practical benefit after this comprehensive consideration, we present policy options for promoting water security and stability in the Brahmaputra region. These recommendations aim to expand dialogue that leads to greater coordination and future institution building, ideally, the development of bilateral or multilateral water sharing treaties for the Brahmaputra River. Given the potential threats to stability in the region if China, India, and Bangladesh continue ignoring the situation, this research lays a foundation for policy makers in all three countries to discuss steps toward a regional solution for long-term water needs in the Brahmaputra Basin. Such an understanding will help strengthen overall security and the relationships between the riparian neighbors. Readers of this book will benefit from insights shared during semi-structured discussions CNA conducted in the three countries being studied. During a span of 2 months, we met with a wide range of subject matter experts who spoke candidly about the challenges, both physical and political, they see in the Brahmaputra Basin. Consequently, we aim to protect the identity of the individuals who kindly shared their knowledge. To this end, we limit information about them in our footnotes, only showing the location of the discussion. Raging Waters analyzes the three major countries of the Brahmaputra River Basin, China, India, and Bangladesh. Each chapter looks at the issues facing the country at the domestic, bilateral, and basin-wide levels. The structure is parallel across the chapters for ease of reading. The first chapter, Water Power, Water Worries, China's Goals and Challenges as the Brahmaputra's Uppermost Riparian, by Joel Wuthnow, draws on Chinese language sources and field research to understand, from China's perspective, the sub-national issues involved as well as the bilateral relationships with India and Bangladesh over security in the Brahmaputra Basin. Through this comprehensive analysis, the chapter concludes that while China has shown little willingness to address Brahmaputra issues at a multilateral level, opportunities may exist for China to modestly expand cooperation at both a bilateral and multilateral level. In Chapter 2, Upstream, Downstream, Reflections on India's Riparian Relationships on the Brahmaputra, Satu Lime examines this middle riparian nation's unique quandaries, seeing itself as a victim of China's water activities, yet seeking to maximize national water resources in a way that does not sufficiently consider or mitigate harmful impacts on its downstream neighbor, Bangladesh. In addition, the sub-national element of water security also is unique regarding center-state relations between New Delhi and India's northeast. Drawing on numerous in-country interviews with experts and other sources, This chapter concludes that multilateral cooperation on the Brahmaputra River does not elicit much support from India at present and is not likely to do so for the foreseeable future. Chapter 3, Bangladesh, the strongest advocate of basin-wide management, by Nilanthai Samaranayake, finds that Dhaka has the most incentive and space to pursue bilateral and multilateral cooperative approaches with New Delhi and Beijing for the development and management of the Brahmaputra Basin. While the country is most at risk from the cumulative impacts of India's and China's self-interested river management, analysis of in-country interviews with experts and officials reveal that Bangladesh's most immediate threats stem from internal challenges. The appendix concludes with recommendations for how the countries can work together as well as improve their national policies so they can foster greater water security in the basin. We include recommendations for how the international community, i.e., international financial institutions and extra-regional countries, such as the United Kingdom, United States, etc., can lend assistance, which helps advance Brahmaputra River Basin security. This book represents a first attempt to examine the Brahmaputra River Basin and its major country stakeholders as the core subject of analysis. Using a three-tiered framework, subnational, bilateral, and multilateral, we sought to connect the dots of previous analyses that have studied segments of Brahmaputra Basin security. However, this topic would benefit from greater study in two respects. First, this project did not seek to conduct a scientific study of water availability or climate change impacts in the Brahmaputra Basin. Hydrological studies have been conducted on the Brahmaputra, although they are arguably too few and are not focused on the Brahmaputra River but entail the wider GBM basin definition. Notably, a foundational scientific study of the entire Brahmaputra Basin was conducted by a team of researchers led by Patrick A. Ray and funded by the World Bank in 2015. As the authors of this book, we are not hydrological scientists but rather study political military security issues. Throughout the process of conducting research, we found how important it was to be able to unify both physical and political analysis, and we communicate these findings to policy makers who make decisions that affect the long-term security of the Brahmaputra River Basin. As a result, we hope future research on the Brahmaputra River Basin produces technical water assessments made by hydrological experts. Second, our project resources enabled field research conducted in the national capitals of the three countries being studied. For future work, we hope researchers will be able to conduct field research with local experts, e.g., farmers, officials, and protesters, based in the sub-national locations in all of the three countries where the Brahmaputra travels. These locations include the Indian state of Arunachal Pradesh, the Chinese Autonomous Region of Tibet, and the Bangladeshi division of Rangpa. Greater scientific study and projections about the health of the Brahmaputra, especially regarding potential dam-building activities and water diversion plans, combined with interviews of local stakeholders in each of the three countries, will enhance understanding of the equities and challenges over Brahmaputra resources and the possibilities for greater cooperation across the basin. Chapter 1. Water Power, Water Worries, China's Goals and Challenges as the Brahmaputra's Uppermost Riparian. By Joel Wuthnow. In September 2016, China announced that it would temporarily divert the Xiaobukwa, a tributary of the Brahmaputra located on the Tibetan Plateau, to begin the construction of two major hydroelectric dams. The purpose of the dams, according to Chinese state media, was to increase electricity production and to contribute to a rising standard of living in the Tibet Autonomous Region, one of China's 34 provincial-level administrative units and one of its most impoverished. The announcement, however, immediately sparked concerns among Indian analysts who suspected Beijing of harboring ulterior geopolitical motives and asserted that the diversion could have negative environmental consequences, including reducing the flow of water into India. China responded by reaffirming its benign intentions and denying that the diversion would result in a significant loss of water for its downstream neighbor. The episode was a microcosm of the larger dilemma China faces with the Brahmaputra. On the one hand, the river offers potential hydropower resources that can provide electricity for Tibet and its neighboring provinces. Building hydroelectric dams along the river also plays a role in Beijing's broader efforts to develop clean energy resources. China has already built one hydroelectric dam on the Brahmaputra and plans to construct several more. On the other hand, the Brahmaputra also has created two types of challenges for Sino-Indian relations. First, Beijing has had to reassure New Delhi that its dam-building activities are non-threatening, responding to concerns by some in India that China could use these facilities to disrupt the flow of water in a future Sino-Indian conflict. Second, China is concerned that Indian dam-building activities downstream could firm up New Delhi's actual control over Arunachal Pradesh, or what China regards as southern Tibet. This could complicate border negotiations and further reduce Beijing's hopes of recovering this territory. China has focused its diplomatic efforts related to the Brahmaputra at a bilateral level, including signing agreements to provide India with river flow data during the flood season. Yet, due to the border dispute and compounded by mutual distrust in Sino-Indian relations, cooperation between the two sides has been limited. Meanwhile, China has shown little willingness to address Brahmaputra issues at a multilateral level, involving both India and Bangladesh. Nevertheless, there may be opportunities for China to modestly expand cooperation at both a bilateral and multilateral level. Specific actions could include expanded hydrological data sharing and environmental cooperation between Beijing and New Delhi and a non-official dialogue on shared river challenges involving all three riparians. China's domestic uses of the Brahmaputra. As of 2018, China's development activities on the Brahmaputra are limited to a series of planned hydroelectric dams, which are being built primarily to raise the standard of living in Tibet but also will support the Chinese government's broader emphasis on clean energy. By contrast, China has announced no plans to attempt to divert the course of the river to satisfy domestic demands, although there are those who advocate for just such a plan. While diversion plans have been discussed intermittently in China for decades, serious cost and feasibility issues make their implementation unlikely. In the last 20 years, China has devoted significant effort to improving water resources in western China. Spearheaded by China's Ministry of Water Resources, this investment has led to improved access to safe drinking water for 2.39 million people and has brought electricity to some 360,000 Tibetan herdsmen, according to People's Republic of China, PRC, data. This effort has included a total of $4.87 billion spent on water resource infrastructure in Tibet through 2014. Moreover, China's five-year economic plan for 2011-15 places the main emphasis for water resource development in China on the southwestern Mekong region and on the Tibetan Plateau, with a focus on building new water pumping and power storage facilities. Chinese sources frequently argue that the purpose of hydroelectric dam construction in Tibet is to develop an underutilized resource to meet local energy needs. A state media report noted, for example, that Tibet's per capita electricity consumption in 2014 was less than one-third of the national average, yet the region possesses a full 30% of the nation's water resources, capable of producing more than 200 million kilowatt-hours of electricity. According to Chinese economist Liu Peng, the Brahmaputra has the lowest hydropower utilization rate of all of China's large rivers but also has the greatest potential for development. Liu argues that seizing this opportunity would help meet Tibet's energy needs. Likewise, at the opening ceremony of the Zhangmyo Dam in the Tibet Autonomous Region, an official from the state electric grid boasted that the new dam would help solve Tibet's power shortage, especially in winter. Hydropower development in Tibet is part of a broader effort to economically develop western China. A key element of this effort is the campaign to Zibuda Kefa, Open Up the West, which was launched in 2000 to encourage economic progress in that historically impoverished part of the country. The program also was likely meant to support the migration of ethnic majority Han citizens into minority-dominated areas, such as Tibet and Xinjiang, and to develop natural resources and minerals in these areas to facilitate national economic growth. Aside from economic advantages, China's drive to develop hydropower resources in Tibet supports a national emphasis on clean energy development. China's national energy policy states that more than half of the contributions to the goal of raising non-fossil fuel energy consumption to 15% by 2020 will come from hydropower. To meet this goal, the plan mandates that China accelerate construction of hydropower stations on key rivers, such as the Brahmaputra. Similarly, a state council official has stated that a main reason for increased dam building in Tibet is that these facilities will help reduce carbon emissions by providing clean energy. To achieve these goals, stated or unstated, China is making gradual progress and has announced plans to construct 4 dams along the Brahmaputra in Tibet. Only one of these facilities is currently operational, the Zhangmyo Dam, which is situated in Jiaka County, roughly 100 miles southeast of Lhasa. The Zhangmyo Dam opened in November 2014, and it became fully operational in October 2015. The dam has a total installed capacity of 510,000 kilowatt-hours, raising Tibet's overall power generation capacity by roughly 25%. According to China's State Energy Plan for 2011-15, there are also plans to construct hydroelectric dams along the river at the nearby towns of Jiaxia, Jiaxu, and Daegu. A more controversial use of the Brahmaputra lies in the possibility, despite no announced plans, that China may seek to divert the river to meet domestic needs, especially for irrigation. China currently faces serious water scarcity challenges at a national level. Overall, China holds 20% of the world's population but only 7% of its fresh water resources. Moreover, China's limited water resources are unevenly distributed. Northern China possesses only an estimated 14% of the country's fresh water but 60% of its farmland and 45% of its total population. In addition, 70% of northern Chinese villages have been described as short of water, with the per capita water endowment of some areas less than one-tenth of the world average. This situation has been exacerbated by such factors as weak pollution controls, poor conservation efforts, and inefficient irrigation methods. To correct these imbalances, China has embarked on a massive water transfer project known as the Nanshui Baidaiyao Gongcheng, South-North Water Diversion Project. Begun in 2002, the project consists of 3 planned routes, the eastern, central, and western. The eastern and central routes focus on diverting water from southern China's Yangtze and Han rivers, respectively, to the Yellow River in the north. These 2 routes have already been completed and are currently supplying water to northern cities, such as Beijing and Tianjin. According to China's official plans, the western route, still in its early planning stages, will concentrate on diverting the headwaters of 3 tributaries of the Yangtze, the Tongtian, Yelong, and Daidu rivers, which are all domestic rivers on the Tibetan Plateau, to the Yellow River by 2050. During the past 3 decades, various Chinese scholars have proposed diverting the Brahmaputra as a remedy above and beyond the official South-North Water Diversion Project. The best-known plan, put forward by a senior researcher at the Yellow River Water Conservancy Commission in 1990, envisions diverting the river via a series of canals and dams through Sichuan Province and into the Yellow River. Other plans have been proposed and studied by scholars at the Chinese Academy of Sciences, the Chongzhong, Yangtze River, Water Resources Commission, and elsewhere. One plan, offered by a former Chinese PLA officer, gained significant attention within China and internationally. Notions of diverting Tibetan rivers to alleviate the water needs of northern China entered the Chinese popular imagination with the publication of the book Zizongzhi Shui Ju Zongguo, Tibet's Waters Will Save China, by Officer Li Ling in 2005. Li argues that waters from 4 rivers, including the Brahmaputra, could be diverted to the Yellow River. Li's ideas have gained international attention. Indian scholar Brahmachel Laney cites it as evidence that China harbors plans to divert the river despite official assurances that it has no such plans. Other Chinese scholars, though, pan the book as bravado and folk theory. Although none of these proposals have been officially endorsed, some Chinese and foreign scholars contend that China's water shortages may become so severe that the government will have no choice but to attempt to tap into the Brahmaputra. For instance, water scarcity, combined with the effects of climate change and desertification, may become so intense that a more radical scheme to divert the Brahmaputra will be needed. Similarly, a failure of the south-north water diversion project to alleviate water shortages in northern China could make a plan to divert the Brahmaputra very tempting for PRC authorities. Plans to divert rivers from western China present several shortcomings, and there has been some internal and external opposition. First, from a cost perspective, interbasin water transfers are among the most expensive ways to increase water availability. Methods such as increasing irrigation efficiency, shallow groundwater pumping, and even intrabasin water transfers tend to be more cost-effective. Indeed, China is already moving ahead with various water conservation measures, such as building fewer water-intensive coal plants. Second, diverting water from the Tibetan Plateau also raises serious feasibility concerns. The director of the PRC State Council's office responsible for the South-North Water Diversion Project has described a significant gap between preliminary work done on the western route and the actual requirements of the project. CNA interviews conducted in 2015 also indicated that Chinese experts have concerns about the western route based on technical grounds, including the view that the Tibetan Plateau is too geologically unstable to support such a massive endeavor. Moreover, given its potentially disruptive effects, plans for the western route are likely to encounter resistance on social and ecological grounds. Compared to the western route of the official South-North Water Diversion Project, Chinese experts tend to be even more dismissive of proposals to divert waters from the upper Brahmaputra. CNA interviews suggest that the Chinese government has given no serious consideration to these proposals in recent years. In fact, a study commissioned by the Ministry of Water Resources in 2000 reportedly concluded that such plans would be neither necessary nor feasible. Former Minister of Water Resources Wang Shuchun stated on at least two occasions that plans to divert the Brahmaputra were not feasible. Thus, while China may eventually give some consideration to such ideas, there is no evidence to suggest that this is likely in the near future. One of the potential obstacles to the fulfillment of these plans is opposition by local citizens and civil society groups, especially environmental non-governmental organizations, NGOs. The record of China's efforts to build dams is checkered with cases of domestic opposition. For instance, plans to build 13 dams along the New River in Yunnan Province were halted in 2004 following an environmental campaign. Likewise, activism by such groups as the NGO Green Watershed has led local authorities to set up resettlement funds for displaced residents along the Mekong. Considering China's larger, long-term goals for the region, it is doubtful that domestic opposition will play a significant role in halting or slowing the speed of dam construction along the Brahmaputra. One reason is that, given the social controls present in Tibet, it is unlikely civil society groups will have the political space needed to operate as they do in other parts of the country. In addition, Chinese sources suggest that the population along the Brahmaputra is so scant that any local opposition will be negligible. For instance, a researcher with China's Ministry of Water Resources has argued that relocation programs for displaced residents will be facilitated by the small size of the population. Nevertheless, he added that local officials should proactively communicate with local residents to help them see that the construction projects are for their own benefit. Diplomatic obstacles and opportunities. Although driven primarily by domestic economic and developmental goals, China's dam construction on the upper reaches of the Brahmaputra has created significant friction in Sino-Indian relations. Indian analysts worry not only about the safety of Chinese dams but also about the possibility of Chinese diversion schemes. For instance, a temporary diversion of one tributary of the Brahmaputra, announced by the Chinese government in September 2016, was expected to marginally reduce water and silt flow into India. This would stress Indian water resources and raise the chance of conflict between the two states. Beijing has tried, with only limited success, to reassure New Delhi that its dam construction will not have adverse consequences for India. Another source of friction emanates from Chinese concerns about India's development of the river, especially in the disputed border area of Arunachal Pradesh. In particular, Chinese government analysts are concerned that Indian construction activities farther downstream will firm up New Delhi's actual control over Arunachal Pradesh and thereby complicate border negotiations between the two countries. Despite these challenges, there may be opportunities for at least a limited expansion in Sino-Indian cooperation related to Brahmaputra issues. Mutual distrust in Sino-Indian relations. Relations between China and India have been strained for more than 50 years, just as with so many other nations that have shared borders, and the issue of the Brahmaputra River's waters are one example of these larger disputes. India is, indeed, concerned about Chinese upstream activities, which reflect a deeper problem of mutual distrust in Sino-Indian relations. This situation is driven by such factors as the ongoing border dispute, Chinese concerns over Indian ambitions and relations with the United States, Indian concerns regarding China's rapid military modernization and ties with Pakistan, and lingering resentments stemming from the 1962 China-India border conflict. This mistrust is not one-sided, and India's official position about Chinese activities on the Brahmaputra has been close to that adopted by the United States in its arms control negotiations with the Soviet Union in the 1980s, trust but verify. Specifically, New Delhi asserts that it accepts Chinese statements but will continue to monitor China's upstream activities and convey concerns through diplomatic channels when necessary. In addition, PRC public diplomacy has not deterred Indian analysts, such as Brahmachel Laney, from circulating the argument that China harbors ulterior motives in its dam-building efforts. Thus, China still faces a trust gap with India on these issues. While Chinese interviewees contended that Sino-Indian relations have made progress under the recent efforts of President Xi Jinping and Prime Minister Narendra Modi, most concurred that distrust remains a central problem for the two countries. Observers have been able to express limited optimism because, during the past decade, China has attempted to reduce two major Indian concerns with respect to the Brahmaputra, flooding that could be prevented with access to Chinese data and potential Chinese development activities along the river. Many of the concerns about flooding developed as a result of a major flood that took place in June 2000. In this incident, a natural dam that had formed due to a landslide on a tributary of the Brahmaputra in Tibet broke. As a result, 3.4 billion cubic meters of water poured into Arunachal Pradesh and Assam, killing 30 Indian nationals and leaving 50,000 homeless. Some Indian observers asserted that China withheld hydrological data that could have prevented the disaster. This led to friction in Sino-Indian relations. In response to Indian concerns about flooding, China and India have established a series of agreements to share hydrological data. In April 2002, China agreed to provide India with hydrological data from three monitoring stations on the Brahmaputra between June 1 and October 15 of each year, corresponding to the annual flood season. During a visit by then-Chinese President Hu Jintao to India in November 2006, the two countries agreed to establish an expert-level group to discuss hydrological data and emergency response measures. Then, in October 2013, China extended the data-sharing period from May 15 to October 15. Data supplied by China have been used by India's Central Water Commission to inform flood forecasts. Chinese willingness to share hydrological data has been well received by India. This is evident in a series of joint statements made during China-India summits. For instance, in a joint statement following Chinese President Xi Jinping's visit to India in September 2014, Indian officials thanked China for providing flood season data, and the two sides agreed to continue cooperation in data sharing and in emergency response. The joint statement following Indian Prime Minister Modi's visit to China in May 2015 contained a nearly identical statement. Thus, China appears to have gained at least some diplomatic goodwill as a result of its overtures. China has also sought, amid the climate of mistrust, to assuage Indian concerns about Chinese development activities along the river. Indian analysts have suggested that China may seek to use its dams on the Brahmaputra to disrupt the flow of water into India in the event of a conflict or to use its control over water resources as a form of diplomatic leverage. Some Indian observers also speculate that China could attempt to store river water, or even divert the river, which would result in reduced river flow to India at a time when water sources are increasingly stressed due to population growth and global climate change effects. Nevertheless, China has sought to quell Indian concerns through official rhetoric and media commentary. In particular, Chinese sources have repeatedly asserted that China plans to build only run-of-the-river dams that cannot be used to reduce or stop the flow of the river into Indian controlled territory. Moreover, China's Ministry of Foreign Affairs spokesman has stated that China's planned dams will not pose flood risks or ecological challenges to downstream areas. China has also responded to Indian speculation about potential river diversion schemes. For instance, a PLA Daily article denies any diversion plans and claims that China took Indian interests into account when it chose not to include the Brahmaputra in the South North Water Diversion Project. Yet, despite all these efforts, China's public rhetoric has largely failed to assuage Indian concerns. While Indian officials have not publicly rejected Chinese pledges that Tibetan dam building will not harm Indian interests, they remain wary. Chinese concerns regarding Indian hydropower activities. While Indian officials may doubt Chinese sincerity about its intentions, the Chinese have their own concerns about the disputed territory of Arunachal Pradesh and what that means for its stated and unstated designs for the region. At present, the river is largely undeveloped as it flows through the northeastern Indian state. India's Ministry of Water Resources, River Development, and Ganga Rejuvenation, however, announced plans to build dams in that section of the river to control flooding and to increase electricity production. The ministry also contends that dam construction is necessary for securing water usage rights under international practice. This appears to be a step forward in firming up India's claims to Arunachal Pradesh, which China regards as its own territory under the name Southern Tibet. Arunachal Pradesh is one of two major areas of dispute along the Sino-Indian border. The other is Aksai Chin, which lies farther to the west, and has been effectively controlled by China since 1951. Arunachal Pradesh was the main theater of the 1962 China-India border conflict, in which Chinese forces advanced into Indian-controlled territory and then withdrew, pending negotiations. At the core of China's contention is the view that Beijing has sovereignty over lands formerly held by the Tibetan Kingdom, including Aksai Chin and Arunachal Pradesh. India rejects these claims and argues that these lands belong to India as part of a 1914 treaty. Indian infrastructure development along the Brahmaputra is of particular concern for China because it could grant India leverage in border negotiations and significantly reduce the chance of China ever being able to enforce its sovereignty claims south of the line of actual control. Li Haifei, an expert at the Chinese Academy of Social Sciences, CAS, who has extensively studied this issue, writes that India has used several means to strengthen its actual control over Arunachal Pradesh, including an increasing military presence, migration of citizens into the region, and development of water resources on rivers, such as the Brahmaputra. Li also argues that India is seeking to build dams in Arunachal to gain an advantageous position in border talks with China. Building dams, in particular, is useful for India because it allows New Delhi to argue that it has established water user rights, regardless of China's sovereignty assertions. In addition to sovereignty concerns, Chinese observers make claims about environmental risks to China to oppose Indian downstream construction. One Chinese claim, albeit made without a clear scientific explanation, is that Indian industrial activity in Arunachal Pradesh could increase sedimentation of the river, which might raise the risks of flooding in parts of Tibet. Other Chinese sources assert that rising Indian carbon emissions connected to greater industrial activity in the region could contribute to glacial melt in the Himalayas and threaten the long-term flow of the river. These arguments may reflect genuine ecological concerns but also may be designed in part to provide an additional basis for opposing Indian development in the disputed region. China has taken some steps to oppose India's development of hydroelectric dams in Arunachal Pradesh. One tactic that China has used in recent years is to leverage its influence in international institutions, such as the Asian Development Bank, to deny India funding for infrastructure projects in the disputed area. It is possible that China also will seek to use its leading position in the newly established Asian Infrastructure Investment Bank, AIIB, for a similar purpose. Moreover, CAS's Li Haifei argues that China should continue to press these institutions to reject Indian requests for financial assistance. Given Indian domestic resources and New Delhi's impetus to develop the northeastern part of the country, it is questionable whether China will have the necessary power or influence to successfully oppose the future development of dams. Outlook for China-India cooperation. Two factors will likely limit a future expansion of China-India cooperation related to the Brahmaputra. First is the ongoing border dispute. Contested ownership of Arunachal Pradesh means that Beijing and New Delhi will probably be unable to reach a major accord on transboundary river rights and obligations, such as a water-sharing treaty. As of 2015, there are no signs that this dispute is set to abate in the near to medium term. A second significant obstacle to cooperation: mutual distrust in regard to the Brahmaputra must be considered. A 2014 water management game conducted by CNA observed that mutual mistrust between riparian nations, driven by such factors as border disputes and terrorist actions, reduced the willingness of all three states to share information and support other types of cooperation. While China and India watchers have seen this at the official level, it is even more pronounced within civil society in both countries. Indian analysts, such as Brahmachal Laney and R.N. Bhaskar, may continue to question Chinese intentions regarding dam building on the upper Brahmaputra. Meanwhile, Chinese observers will likely doubt the motives of their Indian interlocutors, whom many in China regard as biased and sensationalist. One scholar even penned an extensive review of the writings of Chal Laney with respect to China, critiquing Shalaney's assertions about China's intentions to use water as a weapon as biased and unsubstantiated. These sentiments could limit the prospects for productive engagements between scholars on both sides. Nevertheless, there may still be opportunities for a modest expansion of Sino-Indian cooperation on Brahmaputra issues, most likely on narrow, technical subjects that can be separated from the border dispute. This interpretation is supported by scholars such as Lan Jiangxu of the China Institute of International Studies, who argues that Sino-Indian cooperation is most likely on topics considered as low politics, such as on economic, humanitarian, and cultural endeavors. Topics within the realm of high politics, e.g., the border dispute, will remain contentious. Specifically, China may be receptive to cooperation in areas of disaster management, environmental protection, and river safety, or on scientific topics, such as the effects of climate change on long-term river flow. These topics allow for some flexibility and opportunity, as some may be discussed at an official level, including discussions between the water resource ministries of both states. Moreover, non-state stakeholders may be useful in deliberations with humanitarian and environmental non-governmental organizations engaging topics at the Track 2 level, or perhaps involving specialists from Chinese and Indian government-funded research institutes. Several drivers could promote enhanced cooperation on these issues. First, a positive overall direction in China-India relations could remove obstacles and set the stage for cooperation on transboundary river issues. This would require a political consensus by Chinese and Indian leaders to prioritize mutually beneficial economic and diplomatic cooperation over the boundary dispute, which could be symbolized by regular summits and ministerial meetings. Second, China may be able to draw on its own initiatives related to the Brahmaputra to portray itself as a responsible upper riparian. For Beijing, modestly enhancing outreach on water security challenges could be a relatively low-cost way to foster diplomatic goodwill with New Delhi. Third, additional progress may be facilitated if initiatives are proposed and encouraged by the Indian side. This would address the argument of some Chinese analysts that Beijing has been proactive in sharing hydrological data and that the onus is now on India to reciprocate. China could take several steps, both unilaterally and in concert with India, to reduce mistrust and achieve mutual benefits on Brahmaputra issues. First, China could invite Indian and Bangladeshi observers to perform site visits as a way to reassure its neighbors of its dam safety standards. Second, Beijing and New Delhi could share information on dam construction plans and goals so that both sides have greater clarity about each other's intentions and to avoid surprises, such as the September 2016 diversion announcement that took many in India off guard. Third, the two sides could increase cooperation in areas such as data sharing, flood control, disaster management, and biodiversity protection. None of this will resolve the underlying border dispute or eliminate mutual mistrust, but could serve to reduce tensions while providing important public goods. Water security and China-Bangladesh relations. Compared to those with India, China's interactions with Bangladesh related to the Brahmaputra have been relatively free of controversy, which is unsurprising since the two countries do not share a border. Beijing's cooperation with Dhaka has proceeded on several fronts. In 2008, China agreed to share hydrological data on the Brahmaputra with Bangladesh. At a summit held in 2010, China and Bangladesh agreed to improve cooperation on water resource management, hydrological data sharing, flood control, and disaster reduction. China also agreed to assist Bangladesh with riverbed dredging and personnel training. Another Memorandum of Understanding, MOU, was signed in March 2015 on the sharing of rainfall data in the river's catchment area in China, which would help inform Bangladeshi flood forecasting. Sino-Bangladeshi cooperation on Brahmaputra issues is consistent with a broader expansion of the bilateral relationship in recent years. As of 2015, Beijing is Dhaka's largest trade partner, and Bangladesh plays an important role in China's vision of creating a 21st century maritime Silk Road stretching from Asia to Europe and part of China's Belt and Road Initiative, BRI. China is also vying with India for influence in Bangladesh. In recent years, both Beijing and New Delhi have reached out to Dhaka with various economic proposals and incentives. In this context, Chinese willingness to share hydrological information and provide assistance in river dredging may simply be designed to cultivate diplomatic goodwill with Bangladesh. Moreover, Beijing has sought to reassure Dhaka, as well as New Delhi, that it has no plans to divert the Brahmaputra. As the demands for water become a three-way discussion between the major stakeholders, China is able to use Bangladesh's practical needs as an arguing point that is useful in distracting from Chinese designs on the regions for their own benefit. Thus, the perceived threats that Bangladesh faces from Indian development activities upstream have become a counterpoint to India's concerns about Chinese dam building in Tibet. Various Chinese analysts have highlighted India's water diversion plans as a challenge that could have severe economic and ecological effects on India's downstream neighbor. For instance, in a CNA interview in Beijing in 2015, one Chinese expert argued that potential Indian diversion plans could harm Bangladeshi interests, and that Bangladesh has a right to say something as a threatened downstream riparian nation. The subtext of these comments appears to be that India may be applying a double standard in critiquing China's upstream development initiatives. Multilateral cooperation in the Brahmaputra Basin. China has centered its diplomatic outreach on Brahmaputra issues at a bilateral level. It has signed hydrological data sharing agreements with both India and Bangladesh, but it has not engaged the two countries in a multilateral setting, which is consistent with a larger pattern of bilateralism in China's water diplomacy. However, there are signs that Beijing could be willing to expand cooperation with both New Delhi and Dhaka at a basin-wide level. Limited multilateralism. In general, China's water diplomacy has focused on achieving bilateral agreements with neighboring states. Aside from its agreements with India and Bangladesh, China has signed accords on boundary and cross-border rivers with Russia, Kazakhstan, Kyrgyzstan, Mongolia, North Korea, and others. These agreements are diverse in scope, covering such issues as water navigation, hydrological projects, environmental protection, emergency notification, and data sharing. Many are more substantial than the limited China-India pacts on the Brahmaputra, largely because China has no border disputes with these other countries. By contrast, China has avoided multilateral diplomacy as a way to solve shared water challenges. China was one of three states, the others being Turkey and Burundi, that voted against the 1997 United Nations Watercourses Convention, which outlines principles for cooperation related to international waterways, such as transboundary rivers, and procedures for dispute resolution. The reasons China's UN representative gave for his country's opposition to the treaty include inadequate protection of state sovereignty and an imbalance between the rights and duties of upper and lower riparians. China also has declined to participate in the World Commission on Dams, which provides guidelines for dam construction. In addition, China has been reluctant to participate in multilateral water agreements at a regional level. This is illustrated by China's approach to the Mekong River Commission, MRC, which was established in 1995 to govern activities among Mekong River states. Although China has been a dialogue partner of the Commission since 1996, it has not sought full membership, largely due to the concern that doing so would impose restrictions on its upstream dam building plans. Rather, as Selena Ho, an expert on Chinese transboundary river issues, argues, China has opted to seek agreements with Mekong states on a bilateral basis. Nevertheless, China has adopted limited multilateral cooperation with the MRC, which is discussed in greater detail in the following section. China's preference for bilateral diplomacy on Brahmaputra issues is consistent with this larger pattern. This preference may be underscored by two factors. The first factor is the absence of existing institutions relevant to discussions among all three riparians. The South Asian Association for Regional Cooperation, SAARC, for instance, does not include China, while the Shanghai Cooperation Organization, SCO, does not include Bangladesh. The second factor is the deeper problem of mutual distrust, not only in China-India relations but also in India-Bangladesh relations, which some PRC analysts argue would undermine any plans to promote cooperation on a basin-wide scale. In effect, Beijing may have concluded that it is more practical and effective to work with New Delhi and Dhaka separately than to work with them together. Possible cooperation. There are several reasons why China may revisit its current preference for bilateralism on Brahmaputra issues. First, at a broad level, China has participated in, and even shaped, multilateral regimes and institutions since the 1990s. This is evident, for example, in China's role in organizing the six-party talks on North Korea and in its participation in the Association of Southeast Asian Nations, ASEAN, Regional Forum. China has also sought to play a more prominent role in SAARC, which includes both India and Bangladesh. Thus, if anything, China's bilateral approach to water diplomacy is increasingly out of step with its confidence that multilateralism in other policy arenas can support Chinese interests. Second, there is a precedent for Chinese participation in water diplomacy at a basin-wide level. Namely, China signed an agreement with the MRC in 2002 to supply hydrological data from June 15 to October 15 of each year, a period corresponding to the monsoon season. That agreement was expanded in 2008 and again in 2013. China has also cooperated with the MRC through technical exchanges in areas such as river navigation and hydropower development. In December 2014, China's Vice Minister of Water Resources stated that Beijing hoped to strengthen cooperation with the MRC, such as in conducting a joint scientific study on water flow fluctuations in the river basin. In October 2016, an editorial in China's semi-official Global Times praised multilateral cooperation in the Lankang-Mekong River Basin and argued that it could become a useful guide for tripartite cooperation for the Brahmaputra riparians. Third, the barriers to basin-wide cooperation on the Brahmaputra are likely not insurmountable. For one thing, the lack of an existing mechanism does not necessarily rule out cooperation. In other contexts, China has established new bodies to address transnational challenges when one did not currently exist. For instance, China helped establish the SCO to address terrorism and other challenges in Central Asia. China also may be receptive to the possibility that existing bodies, such as the Bangladesh-China-India-Myanmar, BCIM, Forum for Regional Cooperation could be expanded to address water issues. In addition, mutual distrust has not prevented China from engaging in productive bilateral talks with India, and there is no reason why it would preclude similar discussions at a multilateral level. The key appears to be whether cooperation can be insulated from higher-level political tensions and focus instead on shared technical or humanitarian issues. China has several incentives to cooperate with other Brahmaputra riparian nations in a multilateral context. China's reputation would benefit if they took a leading role in proposing basin-wide cooperation. As it has with other regional initiatives, such as the AIIB, China could argue that it is engaging proactively as a responsible regional stakeholder. Additionally, basin-wide cooperation could help reduce a source of friction on China's western periphery at a time when it faces increasing challenges in its eastern maritime region and in its relations with the United States and others. Finally, at a practical level, a basin-wide approach could yield a more holistic understanding of the river system and insights into how to address flooding and other challenges. Thus, while a major multilateral accord may not be possible, China will likely be willing to explore lower-level cooperation with its downstream neighbors. A starting point would be the establishment of an annual Track 2 dialogue with participation from university and think tank scholars from China, India, and Bangladesh. While there are many promising topics for discussion, one possibility would be to limit the initial focus to technical and scientific subjects, such as the effects of climate change on river flow and potential mitigation strategies. Such talks could also involve input from international specialists on a case-by-case basis. Over time, these Track 2 interactions might form the basis for cooperation at the Track 1 level. Conclusion. In sum, managing the Brahmaputra has been a dilemma for the river's uppermost riparian. Chinese officials and analysts see the river as a key to the development of Tibet and as part of a larger shift toward greater reliance on clean energy sources. Yet Beijing has had to reassure New Delhi of its positive intentions while also expressing its own concerns about India's construction activities in Arunachal Pradesh. As this chapter has shown, the chances of a full water-sharing treaty between the two states is low due to mistrust and the underlying border dispute. However, opportunities might exist for expanded practical cooperation both at a bilateral and a multilateral level, such as increased data sharing and dialogue between the riparian countries. This will not eliminate mistrust but could reduce the risk of conflict while providing concrete benefits to those who live along the river. This cooperation will be needed, especially as China and India continue with their large-scale dam activities in the coming years. Chapter 2. Upstream, Downstream, Reflections on India's Riparian Relationships on the Brahmaputra. By Satu Lime. In 2005, Li Ling, an officer in China's 2D Artillery Corps, published Zizong Zhi Shui Ju Zongguo, Tibet's Waters Will Save China, in which he argued for diverting the Brahmaputra River to meet the country's domestic water shortages elsewhere. India was alarmed. The specter of the Brahmaputra River's water being diverted from flowing into undeveloped northeast India led to public outcry, parliamentary questions, and government responses. The episode also highlighted a new area of discord and distrust in Sino-Indian relations at the start of the 21st century, just as both countries achieved much faster rates of economic growth and aspirations for more robust international roles. The Brahmaputra dispute also has deeper roots in distrustful relations originating in the breakdown of bilateral relations in the late 1950s, the brief border war in October 1962 that ended in a humiliating defeat for India, and the continuing close cooperation between China and India's antagonistic neighbor, Pakistan. The May-June 2017 standoff between the Indian Army and the PLA on the Doklam Plateau, though not directly connected to the Brahmaputra River dispute, illustrates the contested state of Sino-Indian relations across the northern border where the two countries meet. The link between territory and sovereignty and the Brahmaputra issue appears to have grown more acute in recent months. China's Global Times, for example, reported that the Brahmaputra River water data sharing cutoff began at least as early as August 20 due to India's lack of respect for China's sovereignty in the context of the Doklam dispute. An Indian government spokesman confirmed the lack of data. Given this background, India's focus on the Brahmaputra River is framed almost entirely with reference to China. However, the reality is that India is physically a middle riparian country between upstream China and downstream Bangladesh. India's physical position as the middle riparian creates complexity in its interests, attitudes, and decisions regarding how to handle international cooperation with both its two Brahmaputra neighbors. This challenge is further complicated by two other factors. The first is the public versus government debate in India, in which the Indian government persistently presents a sober and cautious assessment of the threats posed by China regarding access to Brahmaputra river waters, which is contrasted with the more strident and shrill concerns expressed by the media and some analysts. The second factor is the strong influence of center-state relations between the national government in New Delhi and elected governments in the northeastern states, as well as the lack of consensus among the latter. India's middle riparian quandaries thus refers to different interests and concerns vis-a-vis its two shared riparians upstream China and downstream Bangladesh, as well as the domestic discord that constrains how New Delhi handles matters regarding the Brahmaputra River. For India, the Brahmaputra River is of great political significance because it is a transboundary river that originates in China. However, a deep political distrust continues to shadow this new area of India-China relations. Three drivers shape India's policies concerning the Brahmaputra River as they relate to China: China's plans to dam and possibly divert the river, New Delhi's desire to uphold user rights on the river and consolidate its existing hold on disputed territory, and India's need to manage flooding and soil erosion in its northeastern states, as well as produce electricity through dam construction. Relations with Bangladesh regarding the Brahmaputra River tend to be an afterthought in India, primarily because of the salience of concerns about China, but also because there are more contested riparian issues, not to mention political and security problems in India-Bangladesh relations. Still, India has opportunities with both China and Bangladesh to further modest cooperation by fully and finally implementing existing agreements and being more transparent about its own plans for dam building and river linking projects. India's interest in a multilateral approach may yet be a bridge too far, but New Delhi could pursue ecological and environmental initiatives on issues ranging from pollution to glaciers that could be introduced into bilateral and eventually trilateral cooperation. India and the Brahmaputra River Basin. India is the middle riparian country, between China and Bangladesh, on the Brahmaputra River. The river's unruly, braided physical flow through the three countries parallels a tricky political configuration. The river originates in troubled Tibet, a recurring source of India-China discord since the Dalai Lama fled to India in 1959. It flows through land that is still contested by China and India following a 1962 border conflict. The river serves as both a socio-economic resource and occasional threat to livelihoods in India's isolated northeast region, which is increasingly being integrated into mainland India. And finally, the Brahmaputra becomes a critical lifeline for Bangladesh, whose India-centric historical origins and land, as well as riparian connections, create fraught relations. Measured by population and territory, India is physically implicated in the Brahmaputra basin only marginally, certainly compared to the impact of other major river systems in India. Only an estimated 3% of India's population resides in the Brahmaputra basin. China is roughly 1% and Bangladesh an estimated 70%. About 6% of India's national territory lies within the Brahmaputra basin. China represents 3% and Bangladesh 27%. The region of India through which the river flows is neither highly industrialized nor a major area of agricultural productivity, though agriculture is among the main sources of livelihood for the citizens who live there. But the Brahmaputra River holds great political significance for India because it is a transboundary river that originates in China, runs through Tibet, flows into disputed territory in India's isolated and underdeveloped northeast, and continues into Bangladesh, with which India has critical but difficult riparian relations. India's middle riparian position provides it with a whole-of-basin perspective. But its discrete, distinct interests and troubled relations with its upper and lower riparian neighbors, as well as with India's northeastern states through which the river flows, pull India's concerns, drivers, and cooperative and competitive activities in complex, inconsistent directions, shaping India's intense debate and mixed policies regarding the Brahmaputra River. Thus, to understand why India has this whole-of-basin perspective, with all of the concomitant benefits and challenges, we must first examine Sino-Indian relations, India's internal dimensions, and, finally, interactions between Bangladesh and India regarding the river. This north-south geographical, analytical approach accurately captures not only the physical flow of the river but also the relative hierarchical primacy of China, India's northeast, and Bangladesh to India's Brahmaputra River policies. India-China relations regarding the Brahmaputra River. During the past decade, India and China have steadily increased their dialogue and water-related information-sharing agreements on the Brahmaputra and other shared rivers. However, a deep political distrust continues to shadow this new area of India-China relations. Unless the border/territorial dispute is resolved, India and China will have difficulty reaching a water-sharing agreement. In India's open society, with its freewheeling press and robust democracy, various stakeholders have the freedom to take sides on national issues, and this is no less true in relation to debates over relations with China regarding the Brahmaputra River. Indian scholars, policy analysts, retired government officials, members of the media, and some in parliament, mostly representatives from the northeastern states of Arunachal Pradesh and Assam, express the most acute concerns and worst-case assessments about China's activities. While these voices mostly highlight concerns about China's plans to dam and divert the river, for example, India's government tends to publicly downplay concerns about whether India will have an adequate quantity and quality of water and focuses on emerging cooperation with China. India's government and civil society are more closely aligned in expressing worries about China's transparency on upper riparian activities. In other words, distrust of China is shared broadly in India, even as intense debates persist about China's activities and intentions as well as their implications for India. The parallel development and current coexistence of India's vigorous debate about threats from China on the one hand, and incremental and limited dialogue and hydrological information sharing between the two governments on the other, have resulted in even Indian interlocutors debating whether conflict or cooperation is the dominant or counter-narrative in India-China relations regarding the Brahmaputra River. India's debate about the China factor regarding the Brahmaputra reflects something of a divide between technical experts and international relations or political experts. Technical experts tend to see both Indian and Chinese plans for dams and other activities on the Brahmaputra as problematic, whereas India's political experts tend to focus on the problematic features of China's activities for India. This is not surprising, but in the swirling, cacophonous debate within India, the technical versus political divide adds to the complexity of the government's policy challenges toward the Brahmaputra River. As a result, Indian officials have prioritized alleviating domestic concerns by confirming that China does not have plans to divert water, highlighting that much of the water flow originates in India's territory, and seeking hydrological data that would help the government better plan flood control in the flood-prone northeastern states. Despite the government's restrained approach, the generally poor state of Sino-Indian relations and the fact that the Brahmaputra River runs through disputed territory continue to drive India's anxieties. India-China relations, 56 years after a brief October 1962 border war that ended in India's defeat, now mix competition and cooperation, but remain mired in historical animosity, distrust, and serious unresolved issues. China claims at least part of the area where the Brahmaputra River enters into what India regards as the state of Arunachal Pradesh, but China considers southern Tibet. And as recent tensions over the Doklam Plateau show, Sino-Indian tensions across their frontier persist. Three additional drivers most influence India's policies regarding the Brahmaputra River: China's plans to dam and possibly divert the river, New Delhi's desire to uphold user rights on the river and consolidate its existing hold on territory, and India's need to manage flooding and soil erosion in its northeastern states. India's primary concerns are China's diversion and dam plans. By far, India's most intensely debated concern is China's damming and possible diversion of the river to meet the needs of northern and western regions of China that are more populous, agricultural, industrial, or urban than remote, underpopulated southern Tibet. India's debate about China's upper riparian activities took off in 2005 following publication of Li Ling's book Zizengzhi Shui Ju Zongguo, Tibet's Waters Will Save China. The book suggests various options for diversion of river waters in the amount of 200.6 billion cubic meters, BCM, of which the Brahmaputra would account for the overwhelming share at 118.8 BCM. Reportedly, Soon after the book was published, India pursued numerous cross-ministry and cross-agency studies to investigate and respond to Chinese activities. After constructing China's first major dam, Zhangmu, on the upper reaches of the Brahmaputra in 2010, operational in November 2015, Indian officials in the Ministry of External Affairs issued a key statement in June 2011 reflecting the Indian government perspective. Officials stated that, despite recent reports about China's building of the Zhangmu Dam, they have ascertained from our own sources, presumably a reference to work by India's NRSA and NTRO, that this is a run-of-the-river hydroelectric project, which does not store water and will not adversely impact the downstream areas in India. Therefore, I External Affairs Minister S.M. Krishna believe there is no cause for immediate alarm. I would like to share with you the fact that a large proportion of the catchment of the Brahmaputra is within Indian territory. The Indian government's assertion of adequate water flows has been much debated and contested. A 1996 World Bank report asserts that the Brahmaputra River and its 52 major tributaries have a total catchment area of 580,000 square kilometers. 33.6% of that lies within India, 50.5% in China, 8.1% in Bangladesh, and 7.8% in Bhutan. The debate in India focuses on where most of the water flow comes from. Estimates vary, but at least some in India argue that, significantly, only 40% of the water comes from the Chinese catchment area. Some policymakers in Delhi believe that the precipitation in China contributes only 7% to the flow. It is the Brahmaputra's tributaries in Arunachal Pradesh, along with the rains in India, that contribute to the rest of the river's water supply. That could explain the absence of any shrill reaction from officials in New Delhi. China's expanding dam construction continues to split Indian assessments between the government and civil society critics, and even creates fissures between Indians who see China's dams as the main problem versus those who see all dams on the Brahmaputra River as a problem. Prominent experts such as Brahmachal Laney dismiss the government's assurances and argue that China's dam building is expanding, moving closer to India's border, and providing China with its growing capacity to serve as the upstream controller by re-engineering transboundary flows through dams. Others, such as former Secretary of Water Resources Ramaswamy R. Iyer, argue that, for technical hydrological reasons, even China's run-of-the-river projects are a matter of utmost concern to lower riparian countries. Meanwhile, India continues to pursue incremental and limited river-Rhine cooperation with China, even though it is unable to influence China to cease dam construction. India is also faced with considerable constraints to move forward with its own dam-building plans, beset by discord with the state governments in Arunachal Pradesh and Assam. India's user rights and disputed territory. Another priority for India regarding China has been one of upholding its riparian rights by declaration and actions such as dam-building. A technical expert group, TEG, headed at the joint secretary level in the Ministry of Power reportedly was established in 2008 based on the recommendations of an earlier COS meeting held on October 21, 2008. The TEG would include representatives of the Ministry of Water Resources, Department of Road Transport and Highways, Ministry of Environment, Forests and Climate Change, Ministry of External Affairs, MEA, and the Arunachal Pradesh state government to draw up an action plan for establishing India's user rights on Brahmaputra and its tributaries coming from China. The TEG's first recommendation was that in order to establish the first user rights, the first priority would be to complete Lower Subansiri district, the Lower Shang district and Damui Lower Dams. A second recommendation would be for state government of Arunachal Pradesh to expeditiously allot at least one major project in these basins as close to the international border as possible, and get them implemented promptly, in order to quickly and more firmly establish existing user rights. During the past decade, India's officials have repeatedly invoked India's riparian rights and linked dam building to asserting these rights. For example, Minister of State for External Affairs Sri E. Ahmed stated in Parliament that India is a lower riparian state with considerable established user rights to the water of the river. In mid-June 2015, India's additional secretary in the Ministry of Water Resources, Amarjit Singh, tied India's dam building directly to establishing India's riparian rights, saying, "Once we have a storage dam, we get the right for that quantum of water as a riparian state under the international practices. If you have a storage dam in India on an international river, it gives us the right for that much water." Indian media have picked up government statements that dam building is motivated by the desire to establish user rights on the river, disregarding the fact that India already has user rights as a lower riparian on the transboundary river. India's anxiety about asserting its riparian rights on the Brahmaputra River does not appear to stem from a legal or political challenge to these rights by China. There is no evidence that Beijing has challenged these rights, and official statements between the two countries repeatedly reference that China will respect these rights. More likely, its anxiety comes from the objective of consolidating India's rights to the territory where the transboundary Brahmaputra flows rather than to the waters of the river per se. India believes this is a prudent course of action given the disputed territory through which the river flows and China's international efforts to challenge India's claims to the territory. In March 2009, China moved to oppose a nearly $3 billion Asian Development Bank, ADB, loan to India because it included funding for a $60 million flood management and hydrological program in Arunachal Pradesh. Not surprisingly, some Chinese certainly see India's goal as one of consolidating its hold over disputed territory. Dam building has been an extremely slow and limited process in India, largely due to political and civic opposition to dam construction, but also because of financial and technical constraints. This situation stands in stark contrast to the robust dam building on China's portion of the upper Brahmaputra River. India has plans to build several dams to consolidate its hold on territory and further establish riparian rights, control flood and soil erosion, develop hydroelectric power, and contribute to the overall development of the northeast region. The precise number of planned dams is not easy to nail down. During interviews by CNA analysts done in New Delhi, the number cited ranged in the mid-hundreds. Few believe, however, that even a fraction of these dams will be built. Recently, Himanshu Thacker from the South Asian Network on Dams, Rivers and People pointed to the disapproval of locals and the difficulties of construction. He noted that the big projects are difficult to build and dangerous to manage in mountains that are on highly silt-laden rivers, in a region rich in biodiversity and prone to earthquakes and flooding. The lives and livelihoods of so many millions are dependent on these resources. Most of the dams will never be built. Moreover, outside groups put up roadblocks as well. In 2013, Brahmachal Laney wrote, "Plans for large water projects in India usually run into stiff opposition from influential NGOs, so that it has become virtually impossible to build a large dam, blighting the promise of hydropower." Despite the plans and construction on the Brahmaputra, the U.S. National Research Council concluded that the Brahmaputra is the least dammed of the major rivers in the region. In contrast, both the Ganges and the Indus are highly dammed. This assessment takes into account China's dams. There are a limited number of dams in the Brahmaputra River basin compared to South Asia's other major river basins. Managing flooding and soil erosion. Political and territorial issues aside, India needs to address practical issues concerning the river, and environmental and sustainability problems combined serve as one of the factors driving Indian policy about the Brahmaputra. Soil erosion is a major feature in the northeast India catchment area. According to the Brahmaputra Board of India's Ministry of Water Resources, due to heavy deposition of silt, the river has frequently changed its course. Excessive silt deposition has also given rise to a braiding and meandering pattern in the alignment of the river system. High siltation arises from many factors, including landslides due to heavy rainfall in the area, earthquakes, and man-made actions, such as changes in cultivation patterns and exploitation of forest resources in the hills above the valley through which the river runs. Northeast India specialists often highlight the fact that adapting to floods and soil erosion is a major struggle for the residents of the region. However, flooding is the driver that directly initiated India's cooperative outreach to China, resulting in the current ongoing dialogue and limited hydrological data sharing agreements. India's concerns about flooding in its northeastern states date from the early 2000s. In 2000, in response to a parliamentary question, Ajit Kumar Pandya, then Minister of State for External Affairs, replied, following the recent flash flood in Arunachal Pradesh in June 2000, the matter was taken up with the Chinese government. They conveyed that there was no dam on the Chinese side on the river Brahmaputra and attributed the occurrence of floods on the Indian side to natural causes. India's government seems to have concurred that the flood was a natural disaster. Information provided during interviews in New Delhi referred to an incident in which NTRO monitoring revealed some water blockage at Great Bend Chuumatan Point in the Brahmaputra River basin, possibly due to a natural landslide. Either by virtue of the facts, or just to keep the communications viable, Indian officials have been willing to accept China's word regarding the cause of the 2000 flood. But the importance of flood management, whether because of China's activities, intentional or unintentional, or natural causes, remains a driver of India's approach with China and the northeastern states. India-China. Bilateral discussions on cooperation about the river began in the early 2000s as a result of these flooding concerns, well before any Chinese dams had been constructed on the upper portions of the Brahmaputra and well before debates erupted in India about China's plans to divert the river waters. At a press briefing during the January 2002 visit of China's Premier Zhu Rongji, India's government reiterated that flood control and disaster prevention were driving efforts at bilateral cooperation and mechanisms with China. Following a major flood in India's northeast in June 2000, the Memorandum of Understanding upon provision of hydrological information of the Brahmaputra/Yelung-Sangbo River in flood season by China to India was signed in 2002 and renewed in 2008. According to the MOU, the two countries agreed to share data for the benefit of China's downstream neighbors. Sharing information on the flow of water both in flood and non-flood seasons is critical downstream in the event of a sudden shortage or surplus of water. In response to a question about China diverting the river, an Indian official said, "I believe that these reports have been denied by the Chinese side. There is a level of mutual confidence inherent to this agreement." Since this statement, India's government has continued to link hydrological data sharing by China with flood control and disaster mitigation, and it has acknowledged publicly that the data provided by China has been helpful to this end. Hydrological data sharing between China and India has gone hand in hand with a more unilateral Indian approach to controlling floods, dam building. Despite India's intention to build its own dams to manage water flows, the number of dams actually being built still appears to be extremely limited. According to India's Water Resources Information System, WRIS, as of March 2015, only 16 dams have been constructed in the Brahmaputra basin, and some of these have yet to be completed. Given the delays in completing dams as agreed upon, e.g., the dam on the Subansiri River, the depth of anti-dam movements in the northeast and broadly in India with considerable support from international anti-dam NGOs and the lack of adequate financing, it is unclear just how many dams India will actually complete on their portion of the Brahmaputra River and its tributaries. Thus, the need to control flooding and soil erosion along with the threat of China's dams and possible water diversion and India's need to establish user rights and consolidate a hold on territory appears to be a key driver of India's activities in dealing with China regarding the Brahmaputra River. India-China cooperation. Since the early 2000s, India-China relations concerning the Brahmaputra River have included new elements, dialogue and cooperation. Due to mistrust and disagreements over territorial boundaries, progress in relations has been limited. Nonetheless, the progress made encourages some hope for further cooperation. Under the 2002 MOU, China agreed to provide hydrological information, including water level, discharge and rainfall amount from three stations, Nugasa, Yankan, and Nuxia in Tibet, during the June 1-15 October monsoon season. India acknowledged that this information was utilized in the formulation of flood forecasts by the Central Water Commission. A 2005 MOU, renewed in 2010, expanded the data sharing to include the Sutlej River in India's northwest. Therefore, the MOUs provide a vehicle to facilitate communication about the river. Beyond the discussions surrounding the MOUs, China and India created new opportunities for specialists to work together. A 2006 joint declaration signed during the November visit of China's then-President Hu Jintao to India established an expert-level mechanism to discuss emergency management as well as other issues regarding transboundary rivers. Without providing specifics about how these mechanisms would be implemented, this declaration promised ongoing hydrological data sharing on the Brahmaputra, Yarlung Tsongpa, and Sutlej, Lankan Zangbo, and referenced the need to reach similar agreements on the Parlung Zangbo and Lahit/Zayuchu rivers. India's acknowledgement that the data provided by China has been valuable for flood forecasting and mitigation may be designed to reassure India's domestic skeptics about the utility of this information but also to provide reassurance in India-China relations, suggesting that the utility of the agreements is as much political as practical in addressing flood forecasting. Indian critics have dismissed data-sharing cooperation as useless at worst and limited at best, whereby information had been exchanged but is not actionable because the data provides only volume of water figures and not from where or what time. Others claim that we need regular information, not on an annualized basis. Another felt India needs knowledge about what spots the data comes from. Some critics dismissed water data sharing as useless in the absence of a water sharing agreement. In any case, further cooperation on hydrological data sharing has been incremental and marginal. During Chinese Premier Li Keqiang's May 2013 visit to India, the two sides agreed that China would provide data twice a day. Prime Minister Manmohan Singh's visit to China in October 2013 led to the more grandiosely titled Memorandum of Understanding between the Ministry of Water Resources, the Republic of India and the Ministry of Water Resources, the People's Republic of China on strengthening cooperation on transborder rivers. But the only substantive new element was that China agreed to provide data starting on May 15 instead of June 1, an extra 2 weeks of data coverage. India's press accounts have emphasized what Prime Minister Singh did not achieve in terms of cooperation, i.e., providing at least some insight into what would constitute more substantive cooperation from the perspective of India. Singh reportedly sought a joint mechanism with China for better transparency on 39 project sites that Beijing has apparently identified on tributaries of the Yarlung Tsongpa, Brahmaputra, including 7 on the main river. Moreover, New Delhi had pressed for a joint mechanism because in the absence of a river water sharing treaty between the two countries, such a mechanism will allow India to seek specific information about the upstream projects in China, their construction schedule, the likely impact on people, environment, and downstream river flows. Other media reports claimed that Prime Minister Singh sought a water commission or intergovernmental dialogue to deal with water issues. In the absence of reliable public information on what New Delhi proposed to Beijing through diplomatic channels, it seems clear that the government of India was keen to advance up the cooperation ladder but did not get very far, suggesting an ongoing gap between India and China on river management. As evidence of the cooperation eked out between India and China, it was not until 2014, during the visit of India's Vice President Hamid Ansari to China, that the two countries signed the implementation plan, provision of hydrological information on the Yarlung Zangbu/Brahmaputra River in flood season by China to India. This document is fascinating in several respects. Mainly, the agreement addresses issues about types of data and mechanisms for communicating information. First, it lays out in great detail the precise nature of information to be shared, to the decimal point, the mechanisms by which information is to be shared, including specific emails of respective officials, and related details of hydrological information sharing. Second, almost parenthetically, the document states, the Chinese side also agrees to provide hydrological information if water levels of above-mentioned stations are close to or reach warning water levels in non-flood season. This appears to be the first publicly available mention of non-flood season, when water flow can fall too low, data sharing in an official document of the two countries. The clause about providing information in the case of stations reaching warning water levels also appears to address the vague references in the 2006 Joint Declaration to Emergency Management. Third, the document lays out the terms and mode of payment, which is unusual, as the best publicly available information indicates China does not charge Bangladesh to provide similar data. The cost to India for China's provision of the data is approximately 850,000 yuan per year or less than $134,000 per year at current exchange rates. A fourth interesting element of the implementation plan document is its articulation of Indian obligations beyond payment. Much of India's public and media narrative on river water issues with China has focused on the need for transparency from Beijing. This document notes that the Indian side will provide the Chinese side information regarding data utilization in flood forecasting and mitigation, and that the Indian side will also inform the Chinese side of the information of the hydrological station, which lies on the mainstream of the Yarlung-Zhangbu/Brahmaputra River and is close to China's Nuxia station. The information includes the station's name, latitude and longitude, and type of data being observed. The mutual transparency inherent in this implementation plan is intriguing because it both makes obligations mutual and runs counter to India's domestic debate, which focuses mostly on what China must do. Finally, in an element that has received almost no media or public attention, the implementation plan permits the parties, after mutual consultation through diplomatic channels, to dispatch hydrological experts to each other's country to conduct study tours according to the principle of reciprocity. The purpose of this element is to ensure normal provision of hydrological information. All things considered, the implementation plan suggests a clear and established framework for data sharing on the Brahmaputra River. It is, however, not clear how the implementation plan is being executed. For example, there is no evidence that the data have in fact been shared per the agreement or that any study tours of hydrological experts have taken place. And, of course, hydrological data sharing does nothing to address transparency on such issues as mutual dam building, alleged Chinese interest in diverting the waters, or water sharing of the Brahmaputra River. These big-ticket items of river-Rhine cooperation remain off the table for now, and there is little to suggest that they will be picked up for action anytime soon. Thus, while there is progress in cooperation, they are just baby steps. Indeed, India-China cooperation on the Brahmaputra River seems to have reached its limit for the time being. Prime Minister Modi's May 2015 visit to China brought no new announcements for cooperation, though he specifically called for tangible progress on the issue and described it as an irritant. One can only speculate as to why no new agreements were signed, in contrast to the preceding decade, when several small steps were taken, but it seems likely that this first visit was seen by China as a get-to-know-you event, and Prime Minister Modi went to China emphasizing economic issues, including attracting investment to bolster his new Make in India manufacturing campaign. A broader interpretation may be that cooperation on the Brahmaputra River, because it overlaps with the contested territorial issue, will be a painstaking and drawn-out process similar to India-China negotiations on the border and the territorial dispute itself. The assessment of a Chinese specialist on the issue seems reasonable, since China still has border disputes with Bhutan and India. It is understandable that there would not be any substantial negotiations on the use and protection of transboundary waters before more vital and urgent border disputes are resolved. For both China and India, then, the territorial dispute through which the river literally runs remains inextricably tied up with sharing information, not to mention the water of the river. The subnational factor. India's perspectives and policies on the Brahmaputra River are also influenced by Northeast India's increasing institutionalization in India's government structure, its higher political profile, and its growing role in India's international relations. Furthermore, India seeks to build dams to produce electricity as well as manage the flooding and soil erosion that affect livelihoods and development in its northeastern states. To date, however, India has built very few of its planned dams on the Brahmaputra and its tributaries. The growing weight of the Northeast India subnational factor has fused with concerns about China's upstream activities and the salience of transboundary rivers in India-China relations. Though the Brahmaputra River flows through only two of eight Northeast Indian states, one of which is disputed territory with China, its drainage and catchment areas affect a wider portion of the region, including Arunachal Pradesh, Assam, Meghalaya, West Bengal, Nagaland, and Sikkim. The Brahmaputra River is thus a socio-economic resource but occasionally also a source of destructive floods, and is an isolated and underdeveloped Indian region. The region is essentially an island separate from India. Indian interlocutors often speak of India as the mainland versus the northeast, because it is connected to peninsular India only by the narrow Siliguri corridor or Chicken's Neck and surrounded by Bangladesh or Myanmar. Integrating the isolated northeast region into India's mainland is part of the larger state and nation-building project. Even as India's government deals with differences regarding the Brahmaputra River with China, it has kept the northeast dimension of the issue in mind. The Department of Development of the Northeastern Region, NDRE, was established in 2001 and upgraded to a full ministry in 2004, underscoring India's complete commitment to ensure development with equity for the NDRE to unleash the potential of its human and natural resources. A part of this development involves the construction of dams as discussed above. Politically, the Northeast has received more attention in the past decade because India's third longest serving Prime Minister, Manmohan Singh, 2004-14, had his upper house parliamentary constituency in Assam. In cooperation with the World Bank, Prime Minister Singh initiated an important study on the region's water resources, which was released in 2007. Furthermore, Prime Minister Singh emphasized the need to make Northeast India a key part of the country's expanded ties to Southeast Asia as part of a Look East policy. Prime Minister Modi continued this emphasis on developing India's Northeast and linking development to ties with Southeast Asia. A key challenge for the central government of India is balancing the Northeast region's persistent questioning of New Delhi's attention and response to China's activities, while addressing criticisms about the central government's dam building and other initiatives for the region. Some Indian and Chinese analysts suggest that Northeast Indian state governments exaggerate the dangers posed by China's plans on the upper Brahmaputra, while simultaneously complaining about India's approaches to handling flooding, drought, and erosion problems in the region because they seek to manipulate the central government to increase their leverage for project funding. Last year, Assam's chief minister, Tarun Gogoi, of the Indian National Congress, a party in opposition to the central government led by the Bharatiya Janata Party, BJP, complained about India's plans to build a new dam on the middle part of the Shang even as Indian officials explained that the purpose of the dam was to prevent flooding in Arunachal Pradesh and Assam. The lack of consensus between the two main Brahmaputra-bearing Indian states Arunachal Pradesh and Assam also complicates matters. Indeed, one Indian analyst explained that there is anxiety between Arunachal Pradesh, the upper riparian state, and Assam, the lower riparian state, due to their relative positions on the river. The latter worries primarily that the contemplated dam construction in Arunachal Pradesh will interrupt river flow downstream in Assam and that the seismic vulnerability of the state will lead to dam breakage and population displacement, among other dangers. More than one interlocutor in India reported that the water ministries of Arunachal Pradesh and Assam do not share river water data with each other, so why complain about the PRC People's Republic of China not giving data when even state ministries don't talk? In the mid-2000s, as part of India's policy of increasing the region's political institutionalization, a proposal called for establishing a Northeast Water Resources Authority to overcome state-level resistance to information sharing and cooperation. But, according to one leading Indian water expert and former government official, B.G. Varghese of the Centre for Policy Research, Arunachal Pradesh preferred to deal bilaterally with lower riparian Assam. Apart from the two key state governments, citizen groups and various local and international NGOs have been highly critical of dam-building projects in the region for a range of environmental, cultural, and economic reasons. Jobin T. Jacob, director of the Institute for Chinese Studies, highlights the inadequate local labor supply, which would require the influx of labor from elsewhere in India and thereby add stress to a region that is already the site of various forms of political instability, including ethnic insurgencies. Despite the dissonance between New Delhi and the Northeast states, and their persistent need to work on center-state alignment, there is almost no evidence that Northeast India is making new, non-India-centric alignments to influence outcomes. Northeast Indian states are not seeking or cutting deals even with neighboring Bangladesh, much less with China, though interactions between Northeast Indian states and Bangladeshi officials do take place. The paucity of direct links between India's northeastern states and either China or Bangladesh means that multilateral cooperation on the Brahmaputra basin must be driven by national capitals rather than regional ones, though, at least in the Indian case, there must be some mechanism to involve or inform state-level governments about such efforts. Northeast India's place in the dynamics of the Brahmaputra River remains both central and marginal. Physically, northeast India is where the Brahmaputra River flows. Politically, northeast India is where the Brahmaputra River flows through contested terrain with China. And yet, while Delhi has included the key state governments in shaping its approaches to national policy, the role of the northeastern states is far less significant to driving India's Brahmaputra River policies than bilateral India-China relations and, to some extent, even India-Bangladesh relations. It is to the latter relationship that this chapter now turns. India-Bangladesh relations. The physical, historical, and political interdependence of India and Bangladesh shapes bilateral relations, including those regarding the Brahmaputra River. India's northeastern states surround Bangladesh for approximately 2,500 miles, broken only by a stretch of roughly 200 miles along the southeast corner where Bangladesh and Burma share a border. If Bangladesh is encircled by India, India is separated by Bangladesh. India's northeastern states are essentially separated from peninsular India by Bangladesh except for the narrow Siliguri corridor. Historically, Bangladesh actually emerged from what is today India. It was first partitioned from the province of Bengal by the British in 1905, reunited in 1911, and then split off as East Pakistan in 1947 at the time of British India's partitioning into independent India and Pakistan. Finally, East Pakistan became today's Bangladesh, when it was separated through secession from Pakistan and military intervention from India during the Indo-Pakistani War of 1971, also known as the Bangladesh War of Independence. Against this background, India's relations with Bangladesh concerning the Brahmaputra are a subset of wider riparian relations conducted through the Joint Rivers Commission and specific agreements on the Ganges and Teesta rivers. This intricate linkage carries over into river-Rhine relations. Most of Bangladesh's 57 major rivers originate in or flow through India. Upon entering Bangladesh, the Brahmaputra, for example, becomes the Jamuna River, which joins with the Ganges River, called Padma in Bangladesh, which in turn joins the Meghna River to flow into the Bay of Bengal. The intricate river-Rhine relations between India and Bangladesh are similar to those between China and India on the Brahmaputra. However, India-Bangladesh relations are quite different and focus on three elements: cooperation on the Ganges River, waiting for implementation of an agreement on the Teesta River, and implications of India's river linking project for Bangladesh. Cooperation on the Ganges River. A 1996 water-sharing agreement on the Ganges River is seen in India as an example of their accommodative and cooperative behavior on river-Rhine issues. Bangladeshis see India as less generous, often noting its use of the Farakka barrage to divert water from the Ganges to flush the silt-heavy Hooghly River in Kolkata. The Ganges River Treaty clearly does not solve all of the difficulties faced by lower riparian Bangladesh, but it is one of just three water-sharing agreements on major rivers in South Asia. Waiting on the Teesta River. A second India-Bangladesh water-sharing agreement on the Teesta River was reached in 2011 and awaits political approval for implementation. India's West Bengal Chief Minister has held up implementation due to political sensitivities in the state. India's constitution identifies water as a state-level issue, and therefore a chief minister is able to exercise such a role. Prime Minister Modi's June 2015 visit to Dhaka did nothing to move forward implementation of the Teesta Agreement. Both in India and in Bangladesh, however, optimism surges with the knowledge that the Teesta Agreement will go forward in due course, though this might require further political alignment between New Delhi, Dhaka, and Kolkata, formerly Calcutta. Such political alignments between the central government in New Delhi and the state of West Bengal, which includes Kolkata, and between these two jurisdictions and Dhaka, Bangladesh are unpredictable and not necessarily decisive. For example, the Teesta Agreement did not move forward during either Prime Minister Singh's or Prime Minister Modi's visits due to opposition from the state government in India's West Bengal state. However, politics between New Delhi, the state of West Bengal, and Dhaka were sufficiently aligned by the time of Prime Minister Modi's June 2015 visit to Bangladesh to allow for final ratification and implementation of an India-Bangladesh land boundary agreement. In the absence of political alignments among the three key jurisdictions, the political prospects for settling outstanding River Rhine issues between New Delhi and Dhaka are not favorable. Implications of India's river linking project for Bangladesh. India's plan for a river linking project, RLP, is a significant factor in India-Bangladesh relations regarding the Brahmaputra River. Variations of this project have been on the drawing board for centuries, since the days of British colonial rule. Two recent events brought new attention to the project: the 2012 Indian Supreme Court ruling calling for an acceleration of the plan's implementation, and the 2014 return to power of a BJP government regarded as favorable to the RLP project's implementation. While the RLP overwhelmingly deals with interlinking rivers within India, there are implications for transboundary flows. The precise impact on transboundary water flows appears to be a subject of significant debate and rests in part on the technical as well as political decisions made in any implementation of such a project. A technical study by the International Water Management Institute examines the scope for linking the existing bilateral agreement between India and Bangladesh on sharing water from the Ganges River to an additional provision allowing for mutually beneficial water transfers from the Brahmaputra River. Others are highly critical of such a project, saying that the project will alter the natural flow of rivers, cause water logging, hamper transportation of silt, affect fisheries, submerge forests, and reduce water flow in transboundary rivers in downstream Bangladesh. From a legal standpoint, the critics contend that by diverting water from the Ganga, India would break its formal promises to Bangladesh under the 1996 Ganga Water Treaty. In that treaty, Indian officials promised that no water would be diverted away from the Ganga above the barrage at Farakka, which is only a few kilometers from the India-Bangladesh border. Whatever the impacts might be, the prospect for implementing the RLP in the near term in a way that would affect Bangladesh is widely regarded, both in India and in Bangladesh, as unrealistic for a host of technical, financial, and political reasons. Concerns about the RLP in India. Bangladesh relations are trumped by differences over the existing Ganges water sharing agreement and implementing the completed Teesta agreement, as well as managing overall India-Bangladesh River Rhine relations through the Joint Rivers Commission. Beyond these three priorities, India-Bangladesh cooperation is limited. Each recognizes its dependence on the other. India knows that transit rights through Bangladesh will boost development in India's northeast, and Bangladesh appreciates India's upper riparian position. Such mutual dependence, however, has led to only limited cooperation beyond directly bilateral issues and approaches. Based on interviews in India, interest in multilateralizing cooperation that would include Bangladesh appears very low. There is little evidence from interviews in India or Bangladesh, for example, that India is using cooperation with Bangladesh to pressure China. Bangladesh has its own concerns about China's planned activities on the upper reaches of the Brahmaputra and is engaged in discussions directly with Beijing on these issues. Conclusion: multilateral cooperation in the Brahmaputra basin. India's relations with China primarily shape its policies toward management of the Brahmaputra basin. India's domestic politics, specifically the public versus government debate and relations between the central government in New Delhi and the northeast state capitals through which the river runs, also influence India's management of basin issues. Bangladesh remains a comparatively minor factor in India's handling of Brahmaputra issues, even though river issues form a central aspect of the India-Bangladesh relationship. India's specific concerns, such as issues with China, northeast India, and Bangladesh, are quite discrete and distinct. This complex set of interests creates quandaries for India, which sits between China and Bangladesh on the river. Hence, India pursues a variegated and limited set of cooperative activities regarding the basin. India, however, does have opportunities with both China and Bangladesh to further modest cooperation by fully and finally implementing existing agreements and being more transparent about its own dam building and RLP plans. In fact, because of the relatively measured and longer-term physical impacts of the river on India's population, industry, and agriculture, India has more space to experiment with innovative approaches to cooperation with its upper and lower riparian neighbors. India's current emphasis on bilateral approaches to China and Bangladesh regarding the Brahmaputra does not rule out future multilateral cooperation, but India's middle riparian position prevents effective multilateralism as a means to pursue its interests. India should introduce elements of ecosystem management and ecological protection into discussions of cooperation with China along the lines of the efforts between India and Bangladesh. There also may be room for the three countries to develop common research on preserving and monitoring Himalayan glaciers as part of the region's common heritage. India currently takes a bilateral approach to the Brahmaputra River for several reasons. First, India mostly favors bilateral diplomacy with its neighbors, especially on sensitive issues. Second, India's main interlocutor and challenge on the Brahmaputra River, China, also emphasizes bilateral diplomacy. Third, India, as a middle riparian country, has different concerns and interests regarding upper riparian China and lower riparian Bangladesh that are likely better addressed bilaterally. It is unclear what benefits India would accrue from multilateralizing Brahmaputra River issues. Indeed, some Indians feel that a multilateral setting would allow Bangladesh to gain China's support for criticisms of India's river policies. Fourth, India already has bilateral water sharing and hydrological information sharing agreements with South Asian River Rhine neighbors and with China. Indeed, one former Indian government official recounted that India used the example of India-Pakistan River Rhine cooperation to make the case to China in the early 2000s to share hydrological data regarding the Brahmaputra River. India's current emphasis on bilateral approaches to Brahmaputra issues does not rule out future multilateral cooperation. India is a member of numerous organizations and arrangements that bring together countries with shared river waters, including the widest such organization relevant to the region, the SAARC. Improved relations across South Asia over time could theoretically create a mechanism along the lines of the MRC. But this seems like a distant prospect indeed, given the current poor state of intra-South Asia relations. An additional constraint is that the membership of these organizations and arrangements are not consistent with the three key Brahmaputra riparian states, China, India, and Bangladesh. The closest organization in terms of membership and relevance to Brahmaputra River management is the BCIM Forum for Regional Cooperation. While Myanmar is not a Brahmaputra riparian, BCIM could theoretically address water issues. However, India remains quite cautious regarding BCIM and appears to want that organization to focus on land transportation connections for now rather than expand its agenda. There was little enthusiasm among Indian interlocutors to bring the Brahmaputra River issue to BCIM. In the absence of a Brahmaputra-specific arrangement, India and other riparian nations could create a trilateral, Brahmaputra River-only organization. But such a major initiative seems some distance away because India does not seem interested. Multilateral cooperation on the Brahmaputra River does not elicit much support from India at the current time and is not likely to do so for the foreseeable future. Chapter 3. Bangladesh, the strongest advocate of basin-wide management. By Nilanthai Samarana Yaki. Introduction. In the summer of 2017, Bangladesh faced another year of severe monsoon season flooding. The most recent result of this frequent occurrence included damage to crops, railway tracks, and the homes of roughly 30,000 people. In particular, several of the country's districts saw flooding due to India's release of water at the barrage for the Teesta River, a tributary of the Brahmaputra River, that enters Bangladesh from India. As the lowest riparian geographically in the Brahmaputra Basin, Bangladesh bears the brunt of extreme conditions in the basin from flooding to droughts. Because Bangladesh receives the majority of its river water from outside its borders, mostly from India, the country feels especially vulnerable, which heightens its overall threat perceptions. Many observers had hoped that progress would have been made by the time of this writing on the signing of a first-ever treaty in the Brahmaputra basin for the Teesta River under the Modi administration. Prime Minister Modi's indications of working toward signing the Teesta River Accord included his public statements and discussions with the Chief Minister of India's West Bengal state, through which the Teesta runs before it enters Bangladesh. However, New Delhi has not yet signed this greatly sought treaty by Dhaka. Without question, Bangladesh faces its greatest potential threat on the Brahmaputra River from activities by the two upper riparians China and India. The country is at risk from the cumulative impacts of India's and China's self-interested river management, which shows little concern for the downstream ecosystem. India's planned RLP, the failed 2011 Teesta River Accord and uses of this Brahmaputra tributary not favorable to Bangladesh, and India's consumption of Ganges River resources and the resulting lower dry season flows and salinity intrusion are all regarded by Bangladesh as a cautionary precedent for what may happen with the Brahmaputra. While Dhaka's fraught relations with New Delhi raise more complex and proximate concerns, China's dam building and lack of transparency also worry Bangladesh. Dhaka will need to address persistent bilateral water-sharing issues with its upper riparians, notwithstanding such mitigating factors as India and China sharing seasonal water flow and rainfall data to aid Bangladesh's flood forecasting, as well as the reinvigoration of relations between India and Bangladesh under the Modi administration. Given its difficult geographic position and capacity constraints, Bangladesh has a strong moral case upon which it can promote cooperative approaches for multilateral management and development of the Brahmaputra basin. Dhaka policymakers also can pursue this effort with New Delhi counterparts who may have more political space than the previous administration to pursue cooperation in the Brahmaputra River basin. This effort includes the 2016 election of a chief minister of the same party as Modi, the BJP, in the important Assam state, through which the Brahmaputra passes before it enters Bangladesh. Experts in both countries are also optimistic that the Teesta agreement will be signed at some point during the Modi administration. Within these conditions, Dhaka can call for action on the Brahmaputra from its bilateral relationships with China and India in a way that these countries cannot do with each other. Venues for cooperative water discussions include meetings of the BCIM Forum for Regional Cooperation and the Joint Study Group of the BCIM Economic Corridor. In addition to its moral authority in the Brahmaputra, Dhaka can appeal to its neighbors' economic interests because multilateral cooperation can help produce much-needed regional economic integration with beneficial results for all three countries. Because Bangladesh faces the greatest threat from the poor practices of upstream countries, it has the most to gain from improved river management and can serve as a catalyst for regional water cooperation that could lay the foundation for an eventual Brahmaputra Basin Commission. Notably, however, while Bangladesh faces its greatest potential threat on the Brahmaputra River from upper riparian activities, its most immediate threats stem from internal challenges. Factors such as climate change, plus the country's capacity constraints and dense population, exacerbate the effects of Brahmaputra river bank erosion, flooding, and diminished dry season water flow and groundwater availability. This chapter will consider the Brahmaputra basin from Bangladesh's perspective. It will begin with a domestic level analysis by seeking to understand the predominant perceptions of internal challenges and threats in Bangladesh. The chapter will then move to a bilateral level analysis with an examination of Bangladesh's perceptions of external threats from India and China. Finally, it will close by considering the potential opportunities for multilateral cooperation that exist despite current obstacles. The Brahmaputra in Bangladesh. Water is aptly characterized as Bangladesh's blessing and curse. Bangladesh gets too much water during the rainy season, June to October, resulting in flooding, and it gets too little water during the dry season, November to May, resulting in drought. Flooding and drought contribute to riverbank erosion, agricultural disruption, and migration. To give outsiders a sense of the landscape in Bangladesh, one water expert remarks that the whole ecosystem of Bangladesh is water-based. The confluence of three major rivers, Brahmaputra, Ganges, and Meghna, occurs in Bangladesh. Roughly 90% of the river catchment for the country comes from outside its borders. Although only 8% of the 580,000 square kilometer basin area of the Brahmaputra is in Bangladesh, it serves as Bangladesh's largest water system, followed by the Ganges, then the Meghna. The Brahmaputra provides approximately 65% of the country's river water annually. Upon entering Bangladesh from India's Assam state, the Brahmaputra is called the Jamuna and travels along the boundaries of Rangpa, Mymensingh, Dhaka, and Ratchahi divisions. After it leaves India, the Brahmaputra runs for nearly 250 kilometers, or about 150 miles, through Bangladesh, before connecting with the Ganges River, which empties into the Bay of Bengal through the Meghna River. The Teesta River, which is a tributary of the Brahmaputra and the cause of a heated political dispute between Bangladesh and India, crosses the northern Rangpa division before it merges with the Brahmaputra. The Teesta River is significant because a water-sharing agreement was drafted but not signed in 2011, which would have been only the second water-sharing agreement between the two countries. The primacy of Bangladesh's internal challenges. While Bangladesh's greatest potential threat on the Brahmaputra River comes from activities by upper riparians India and China, the country's most immediate threats stem from internal challenges. Overall, Bangladesh is now more focused on the Ganges Basin than on the Brahmaputra Basin, due to India's consumption of water resources from the Ganges River and the downstream impacts that are evident in southwestern Bangladesh. Nevertheless, the Brahmaputra is still an important source of concern, given the implications for the management of this resource that is Bangladesh's largest source for water. While much public discussion analyzes Dhaka's perceptions of threats emanating from India and China on the Brahmaputra, internal challenges raise the most immediate problems for Dhaka to address. They include issues of erosion, flooding, and diminished resources during the dry season. The country's capacity constraints, dense population, and high dependence on external water sources exacerbate the effects of Brahmaputra riverbank erosion, flooding, and diminished dry season water flow and groundwater availability. The Brahmaputra River, like many rivers, has moved over time, and in this case, the river's path has been changed by dramatic forces and enduring actions such as erosion. Bangladeshi water experts view the Brahmaputra as a young river that has yet to take its shape. There is a separate segment of the Brahmaputra in Bangladesh known as the Old Brahmaputra that was created when the river changed its course in the late 18th or early 19th century, likely due to an earthquake. Today, riverbank erosion is particularly stark along the Brahmaputra and is a modern reminder of the river's past and continually changing geography. Riverbank erosion not only changes the size and course of the river but hurts surrounding communities that are negatively affected by it. This process commonly occurs in the rainy season due to high water flows. In particular, land in the Kurigram and Gay Bandha districts on the west bank and in Jamalpur on the east bank of the Brahmaputra is being lost as riverbanks collapse. Floods exacerbate this problem, having a significant impact on human security. For example, erosion renders an estimated 10,020,000 families homeless in Bangladesh every year. Many have had to rebuild their homes, in some cases multiple times, due to erosion. Damaging people's homes, land, and livelihoods in Bangladesh, riverbank erosion on the Brahmaputra provokes local protest and disrupts families by forcing men to migrate to find work elsewhere in the country and thus also disrupts local culture. Many go to Dhaka, the most densely populated city in the world, thereby intensifying national challenges. Riverbank erosion is caused by flooding, which in turn can cause additional problems. Bangladesh's inability to accurately forecast heavy floods beyond 3 days in advance and its lack of water storage capacity have damaged or destroyed people's livelihoods and property. Reduced sanitation and educational resources are secondary impacts of flooding, especially in the Chars River Islands. The Brahmaputra is the major cause of flood disasters in Bangladesh. In 2007, it reportedly overflowed its banks twice, killing 600 people and destroying crops in roughly 39 of Bangladesh's 64 districts. As devastating as floods can be, they are not necessarily unwelcome in Bangladesh. Flooding provides much-needed replenishment of the soil, a process that benefits agriculture, but the poor infrastructure and forecasting turn the benefits of flooding into major liabilities. In contrast to the problems brought by floodwaters in the wet seasons, Bangladeshis rely heavily on the Brahmaputra because of the problems that emerge during the dry seasons. Bangladesh, as a whole, sees wide pendulum swings from flooding to drought all in the course of a year. The Brahmaputra is Bangladesh's largest source of water and provides about 75% of its total water resources in the dry season. After the Brahmaputra enters Bangladesh at Bahadur Abad, the average monthly flow of the river during the rainy season, June to October, is 1.3 million cubic feet per second, cusks. By contrast, during the dry season, November to May, the average monthly minimum flow is 157,000 cusks, yet, Bangladesh requires about 210,000 cusks from the Brahmaputra to meet its national flow requirements. Thus, Bangladesh needs nearly all of the river's water in the dry season to fulfill its national water resource requirements, such as irrigation and flushing out salinity. A critical requirement for the Brahmaputra in Bangladesh is pushing back the salinity that creeps up from the Bay of Bengal coastline. Essentially, decreases in Brahmaputra flow directly translate into increases in salinity. Whereas the Ganges increasingly fails to provide enough water to repel saltwater intrusion in southwest Bangladesh, at present, the southeast coastline of Bangladesh is protected due to fresh water supply from the Brahmaputra. Yet Bangladesh sees the impact of the diminished flow of the Ganges on the salinity of the southwest coastline and worries about the negative implications of diminished flows of the Brahmaputra for the south central and southeast coast. During the dry season, the Brahmaputra provides less water for domestic use, thereby hampering the ability of farmers to produce crops due to declines in groundwater. Rice is a water-dependent crop, and burrow rice is cultivated in the dry season, with 80% of it grown using groundwater irrigation. In terms of agriculture, the Brahmaputra is the main source of groundwater for Bangladesh during the dry season. Northwest Bangladesh already has a problem with declining groundwater levels because the Brahmaputra water is being extracted by tube wells at a rate faster than it is being recharged. Despite adaptation activities by NGOs, farmers are not taking significant action to shift their crops away from rice cultivation, and they remain vulnerable to reduced groundwater availability in the dry season, which increases the threat of food insecurity for Bangladeshi citizens. NGOs such as the Flood Hazard Research Center, FHRC, have long been active in Bangladesh. Their representatives, including environmental scientists, try to help farmers adapt to the diminishing availability of groundwater by encouraging the growth of maize and sunflower, which consume one-fifth of the water and reap higher profits than rice, for example. National government policy does not appear to be incentivizing farmers to effect meaningful change in agricultural and irrigation practices. Fisheries also depend mostly on groundwater in the dry season, but fishermen are seeing diminishing availability of this resource. A factor compounding this problem is the amount of arsenic that naturally occurs in the soil throughout Bangladesh. It is contaminating the dwindling supplies of groundwater and reducing water quality. Another factor that hurts freshwater fish stocks in the lowland and floodplains of the Brahmaputra basin is farmers' use of pesticides. Thus, because of naturally occurring and introduced toxic substances, as well as diminishing groundwater availability, Bangladeshi fishermen find it difficult to pursue their vocations and provide fresh food for domestic consumption and foreign export. Local challenges. Several factors exacerbate Bangladesh's difficult domestic situation. These factors are not specific to the Brahmaputra itself, but they form the context of vulnerability in Bangladesh's policy outlook. One set of stressors is Bangladesh's overall capacity constraints, which is important because it determines the country's ability to address national challenges. Another factor is the large population, which is a major stressor because it adds human pressures on the availability of water resources. Finally, a primary stressor comes from Bangladesh's adverse environmental conditions, such as low-lying geography, which tend to exacerbate the effects of the country's propensity to incur natural disasters. The country and its city centers are in the midst of dramatic changes due to rising economic and population growth, climate change, and the country's own capacity limitations. Of the three riparian countries discussed in this book, Bangladesh is the most densely populated. In fact, it is one of the most densely populated countries in the world. Notwithstanding successful policies that have managed high rates of population growth since independence, Bangladesh's population of nearly 160 million people makes it the eighth most populated country in the world. More than 15 million people live in the capital, Dhaka, which is the densest urban area in the world with approximately 112,700 people per square mile. Clearly, rising populations require considerable water resources, especially in the context of environmental pressures. While a constellation of factors motivate people to migrate, Bangladesh has seen internal migration of many citizens to Dhaka and elsewhere in the country. Fishermen and farmers have lost their livelihoods due to water stress and salinity intrusion impacts in the southwestern part of the country, i.e., the Ganges Basin, forcing them into the cities for wage work. They often become day laborers and rickshaw drivers. Challenges regarding Brahmaputra water flows are likely to continue exacerbating overall population and migration trends in Bangladesh. In addition to human pressures on resources, Bangladesh faces adverse environmental conditions. The country is prone to natural disasters, and climate change renders Bangladesh vulnerable due to its low-lying geography. Bangladesh is one of the 20 countries and regions most at risk because of global climate change, and it is the only Asian country on the poorest segment of this list, according to the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, IPCC, the top international authority on climate change. Adding to these environmental impacts, the IPCC finds with very high confidence that climate change produces socio-economic consequences. Specifically, it tends to further entrench poverty. The IPCC also projects that as many as 27 million Bangladeshi citizens could be at risk from sea level rise due to climate change by 2050. While sea level rise is generally considered a serious threat facing Bangladesh, especially in the Ganges River basin and coastal areas, its impact will be magnified if the Brahmaputra's flows are reduced in the dry season and cannot help flush out salinity intrusion. Thus, factors not directly related to the Brahmaputra are nevertheless exacerbating Bangladesh's challenges on the Brahmaputra River. From internal social issues, such as population migration within the country, to global threats such as climate change, Bangladesh faces obstacles that will impede its ability to address water-sharing challenges in the Brahmaputra basin. Despite a strong economic growth rate of roughly 6% annually, Bangladesh has the lowest gross domestic product, GDP, of the three riparian countries in this study. Although the World Bank elevated Bangladesh from a low-income to a lower-middle-income country in mid-2015, it lacks sufficient water management facilities, e.g., water storage in the dry season, and bureaucratic coherence to address its water problems. Considering how often floods occur in the country's flat terrain, Bangladesh needs better storage capacity solutions for excess water so that it can use the resource in the dry season. Even with regard to devising government policy on river resources, interagency coordination is reportedly difficult to achieve between such organizations as the Ministry of Water Resources, the Ministry of Shipping, the Bangladesh Inland Water Transport Authority, and the Power Division. These obstacles are not insurmountable, but Dhaka policymakers will need to navigate them in the pursuit of more effective management of Brahmaputra River resources within Bangladesh. Bangladesh's complex bilateral relationship with India and implications for the Brahmaputra. At present, India represents the greatest threat to Bangladesh's water security due to its proposed RLP. But while this threat has neither materialized on the Brahmaputra nor is it imminent, particularly if Bangladesh can maintain the current upswing in bilateral ties and develop stronger multilateral negotiations in the future, any reductions in water quality and flow from India will affect Bangladesh, especially in the dry season, and with cumulative effects on the smaller nation. Last in line for the river's water, Bangladesh has the most to use as its primary user and views the two upper riparians, especially India, as problematic for its own water security, although the current upswing in bilateral relations with India under the Modi administration has mitigated some of Bangladesh's immediate fears. Sharing a history and a border with India has resulted in difficult bilateral ties due to disputes over territory, border crossings, and insurgencies. Bangladesh is surrounded by India on three sides, and its leaders perceive the nation to be vulnerable on water security in addition to other issues. Of the 57 rivers that enter Bangladesh, 54 come from India, leaving only three entering from Myanmar. There is a water-sharing agreement on only one, the Ganges River. A much-anticipated agreement on the Teesta and Feni rivers failed to be concluded at the last minute in 2011 due to domestic politics in India, leaving a bad impression among leaders in Dhaka and the wider Bangladeshi public. This outcome reinforced Bangladeshi's view of India as an overbearing big brother in terms of its overall disposition and water management practices. Furthermore, the Bilateral Joint Rivers Commission, JRC, the only mechanism through which data sharing can be negotiated, has been criticized by one regional expert as being in effect two parallel national river commissions, instead of one joint commission. Essentially, the JRC is seen as ineffective, rather being an integrated commission comprised of Indians and Bangladeshis working together to devise solutions to water challenges. Beyond water disagreements, Bangladesh has had a complex relationship with India, believing that India exerts excessive influence on Dhaka's policies due to its dominance in the region. As a result, the politicization of issues involving India has a long history in Bangladesh. There is a common view that India represents the greatest threat to Bangladesh more so than China, given Bangladesh's geography in relation to India. Particularly before the Modi administration entered office, Dhaka felt that India's border security force was being heavy-handed toward Bangladeshi citizens when policing the porous border. Difficult bilateral relations have often been exacerbated by polarized domestic politics in Bangladesh, which are often depicted through a lens of either pro-India leadership, i.e., Sheikh Hasina of the Awami League, or anti-India leadership, i.e., Khaled Zia, former Prime Minister and current opposition leader of the Bangladesh Nationalist Party. In addition, even those whose disposition may not necessarily be anti-India harbor doubt about New Delhi's ability to influence the water policies of Indian states, the result of which works against Bangladesh's interests. The strongest evidence to support this view is that in 2011 Indian Prime Minister Manmohan Singh went to Bangladesh to sign the proposed Teesta water sharing agreement, but was unable to do so because he had failed to secure support from West Bengal Chief Minister Mamata Banerjee. This event subsequently hurt bilateral relations, including greater economic cooperation. At the time, Dhaka linked the Teesta Pact with progress on giving New Delhi long-sought full transit rights across Bangladesh so that India can access its landlocked northeastern states. Against this larger context, coupled with the importance of water resources as an issue in Bangladesh, a lack of effective water cooperation was a major hindrance to improving bilateral relations in the final years of the Singh administration. Under Modi, the relationship has been reset to some degree. Progress has been seen in areas outside water management, such as the conclusion of a historic land boundary agreement and progress in power cooperation. Still, Bangladesh has concerns about India's current management of water resources in view of downstream impacts and future plans. Specifically, three issues have largely contributed to Bangladesh's perceptions of India as a threat: India's RLP, the failed Teesta agreement and uses of the river that are not favorable to Bangladesh, and India's withdrawals from the Ganges River basin. Threat perceptions. The prospect of India diverting rivers, specifically through its RLP, is what Bangladesh sees as the greatest potential threat to its own water security in the Brahmaputra. The RLP would increase India's internal water security by connecting rivers with surplus river flow to those with deficit flow to guarantee optimal movement of water within India. Bangladesh is far more concerned about the RLP than it is about the possibility of water diversion by China. Specifically, Bangladeshi leaders fear that India's diversion of the Manas and Sankosh rivers in the Brahmaputra would mean the removal of resources from the basin to the Ganges basin. A strong consensus of scientists, NGO experts, and officials in Bangladesh believe that this project, if achieved, would be catastrophic to the country's water supply, the biodiversity of its already fragile ecosystem and agriculture and fish stocks, while raising the potential for drought. Even though India does not have immediate plans to implement the RLP in the Brahmaputra basin, the logistics of completing the RLP remain daunting given the sheer engineering feat that would be required to divert rivers on such a wide geographic scale. In the words of one Bangladeshi water expert, India's RLP represents a Herculean task. In addition to the sheer logistical challenge, domestic water politics in India are difficult because even states within India are at odds with each other. Thus, gaining support from all stakeholders within India would delay the full implementation of this project, therefore limiting the potential of immediate risk to Bangladesh's water security. Despite the low likelihood of India carrying out the RLP in the Brahmaputra in the near future, the salience of this threat in Bangladesh is real. First, Bangladesh's often difficult relationship with India heightens this baseline sense of concern. Second, Dhaka believes that India has previously acted against Bangladesh's interests with regard to water supplied through Indian barrages in the Ganges and Teesta rivers and may do so again under the RLP. As of 2018, India has made little progress on this effort. In fact, the previous Indian National Congress Party government let the RLP stall because it was proposed under the previous BJP government. Bangladesh, however, sees the current BJP government as being more determined to pursue this project. In fact, some modest movement of the RLP under the Modi administration has occurred, albeit outside the Brahmaputra basin. In September 2015, the Godavari and the Krishna rivers were finally linked in Andhra Pradesh. Rivers in Madhya Pradesh and Uttar Pradesh are the next targets of the RLP. As a result, Bangladesh's concerns are high, and most respondents believe that India will eventually carry out the RLP. Unlike the Indian RLP, which represents a potential threat, management of the Teesta River in India is of current concern to Bangladesh. The Teesta River, a tributary of the Brahmaputra, begins in India's Sikkim state, traverses West Bengal state, then flows across Rangpa division in Bangladesh and into the Brahmaputra. Out of the rivers that Bangladesh shares with India, the Teesta ranks high in importance due to its role in supplying water for rice grown by farmers. As noted earlier, Indian Prime Minister Singh could not sign the proposed Teesta water sharing agreement during a visit to Dhaka in 2011, because he failed to secure support from West Bengal Chief Minister Banerjee. If signed and implemented, this would be only the second river water sharing agreement between the countries. Bangladesh sees West Bengal withholding large amounts of Teesta water through its Gazaldoba barrage during the dry season for agricultural purposes. As a result, northwest Bangladesh has seen the detrimental impacts of reduced river flow on agriculture, fisheries, and boat travel in the Teesta region. Last year, Bangladesh received roughly 300 cusks on the Teesta in the dry season, compared with 5,500 cusks only a few years before. Observers claim that the area looks like a desert, with homes once on the banks of the Teesta now on a sandbar. For Teesta River stakeholders in Lalmanirat district in Rangpa, the diminished flow of water in the dry season is already a major problem for farmers, who fault government agencies for the situation. Moreover, the reduced river flow has human security impacts on the role of women in Bangladeshi society and people's livelihoods in the dry season. Water carriers in Bangladesh tend to be female. When water is not readily available, girls will drop out of school to perform the task of bringing back water to the family. Even Sugata Bose, an Indian member of parliament from West Bengal's Yadavpur constituency, acknowledges that the fundamental problem with the Teesta River is a shortage of water. And having to share what is, in fact, a very scarce resource. Such a contest for Teesta resources on both sides of the border illustrates the need to finalize an equitable water-sharing accord. Bangladesh's experiences with India outside the Brahmaputra, i.e., India's use of water resources in the Ganges River Basin, magnify its threat perceptions about what India could eventually do inside the Brahmaputra Basin. The water treaty that the two countries reached in 1996 for the Ganges River Basin was a major breakthrough for bilateral relations as their first water-sharing accord. Dhaka was greatly concerned about West Bengal's use of water for desilting the Hooghly River, which had an adverse impact on agriculture in Bangladesh. Given the importance of water for both countries, the treaty helped address a difficult situation at the time. Despite the Ganges Accord, India's consumption of shared river resources continues to cause deep concern in Bangladesh, with many faulting India for not living up to its treaty obligations. India's West Bengal state is seen as consuming the potential Ganges augmentation flows for itself, thereby not providing all the water it should under the treaty. Article 8 states the need to cooperate on finding a solution to the problem of augmenting dry season flows, yet, 20 years later, there has been little progress on this front. On balance, the goodwill created by the treaty persists, and the consensus view is that the monitoring regime of scientists from both countries is working well. Because of the agreements laid out in Article 9's clause about the principles of equity, fairness, and causing no harm, Bangladesh sees India's current actions as acting against the spirit of the treaty by providing less water through the Farakha barrage in the dry season, increasing the likelihood of droughts across the border. In the years since signing the treaty in 1996, Bangladesh views the absence of flow guarantees and an arbitration clause as major shortcomings of the agreement. As discussed earlier, southwestern Bangladesh is facing a significant problem of salinity intrusion. Insufficient water levels from India do not allow the Ganges in Bangladesh to flush out the salinity that creeps in from the Bay of Bengal. Impacts are already being seen with threats to drinking water in Gopalganj, for example. With no flow guarantee or arbitration clauses and doubts about New Delhi's ability to restrain state water use activities, renewing the 30-year agreement that expires in 2026 will be difficult unless such fundamental issues are addressed. When discussing the future of the Brahmaputra, experts in Bangladesh thus see an unsettling precedent in the Ganges Basin. Mitigating factors. For all of Bangladesh's concerns, two factors mitigate its anxieties about current and potential threats from India: water cooperation with India and improved political relations. As discussed above, Bangladesh and India signed their only treaty on water sharing in 1996 over the Ganges. Even before this agreement, the two countries founded the JRC in 1972, soon after Bangladesh became independent. In more recent years, Bangladeshi and Indian representatives continue to meet and exchange information through the JRC. For example, the latest discussions about proportions of water resources sought in the Teesta River have occurred during the Commission's meetings. Notwithstanding aforementioned criticisms of the JRC's effectiveness as a dialogue mechanism, an official in the Bangladeshi government emphasizes that there has been a tremendous amount of goodwill between the countries on the discussion of water issues. In fact, in November 2015, India's Water Resources Minister, Uma Bharati, hosted Bangladesh's Minister of Water Resources, Anisul Islam Mahmood, who invited her to the next round of the JRC in Dhaka. During their meeting, Bharati stated that New Delhi actively seeks to finalize the Teesta Accord, including by reaching out to West Bengal Chief Minister Mamata Banerjee. Regarding the Brahmaputra, one saving grace is that India does not use much of the water flow compared with use of the Ganges. Also, India cooperates on sharing flood forecasting data, which it provides to Bangladesh without charge. It shares water level and rainfall data on the Brahmaputra from a few stations in its territory, and since 2010 it has agreed to share data twice a day during the monsoon season, June to October. While this is a positive step, this data sharing arrangement is simple. India notifies Bangladesh how much rain has fallen in particular catchment areas so that Bangladesh can calculate the time before the water will arrive. As a result, Bangladesh can now forecast floods accurately up to 3, sometimes even 5, days in advance. While data sharing can be expanded, these interactions on water resources are beneficial to bilateral relations. Progress in bilateral relations, especially under the Modi administration, helps mitigate some of Bangladesh's larger threat perceptions with regard to India. For example, in July 2014, the two countries saw their long-standing maritime boundary dispute resolved through the Permanent Court of Arbitration at The Hague. Then, Modi's visit to Bangladesh in June 2015 and the historic signing of the Land Boundary Accord, which had been delayed for decades, finally resolved the unsettled land border dispute. India is also trying to cultivate deeper, positive ties with Bangladesh through efforts such as selling electricity from Indian power plants and approving an additional $2 billion US dollars of development financing in 2016. On the Bangladeshi side, the Sheikh Hasina administration is generally seen as favorable to working with India on common security interests, such as counter-terrorism and intelligence cooperation. As a result of these developments in bilateral relations, optimism remains high in Dhaka that the two neighbors will finally sign the Teesta Accord. Bangladeshi and Indian experts hoped that the agreement would have been concluded by late 2016, after the West Bengal elections, so that the agreement does not become a lightning rod during Banerjee's re-election campaign. Furthermore, Bangladesh has been reassured that New Delhi is working with Banerjee to seek her concurrence on the accord. The momentum following the election of the Modi administration in 2014 is still strong, even though the agreement has not been signed as of this writing. Finalization of the Teesta Accord would be a notable indicator of how lasting this renewed foundation will be for closer Bangladesh-India ties. Bangladesh-China, the view from Bangladesh. While the geographical locations of both India and China have the ability to disrupt the flow of the Brahmaputra before it gets to Bangladesh, Bangladesh's bilateral relations with China are not as fraught as those with India. This situation is not surprising because India is Bangladesh's neighbor with territory surrounding much of its smaller neighbor and is the dominant power in the region. Because China does not have this geographic proximity and presence, Bangladesh's relations with China are comparatively more positive. In fact, these ties give Dhaka more economic and military options than relying solely on New Delhi. For example, China is Bangladesh's largest supplier of military equipment and sold Bangladesh its first ever submarines in 2016. New Delhi policymakers were not pleased with this development and are concerned more broadly about China's rising ties with South Asian neighbors. Yet India, by contrast, has not supplied Dhaka with military equipment since the early years after independence in 1971. According to data from the Stockholm International Peace Research Institute, SIPRI. Threat perceptions. Bangladesh sees China as less of a direct threat to water security than India because most of the Brahmaputra is sourced farther south, within Indian borders. Nevertheless, poor management of upstream water resources without regard to the ecosystem or potential diversion activities by China are seen in Bangladesh as harmful to the entire Brahmaputra basin. A recurring theme among experts and officials in Dhaka is that Bangladesh could face a worst-case scenario through the cumulative effect of India's current and feared activities and potential diversions, in addition to the potential harm caused by irresponsible upstream practices in China. Any reductions in the flow or quality of water coming from India and China will adversely affect Bangladesh, especially in the dry season. Officially, Beijing continues to assure Dhaka that it has no plans to divert the Brahmaputra. Bangladeshi officials asked their Chinese counterparts about this issue as recently as March 2015, and they were reassured that the dams are for the purpose of producing electricity. Moreover, China is a cooperative partner with Bangladesh in the Brahmaputra even though the countries do not share a border. Although this approach seems to satisfy Bangladesh at the present time, China's activities elsewhere, such as assertiveness in the South China Sea, call into question its verbal commitments to stability. Beyond assurances, Bangladesh wants China to be more transparent about its long-term intentions and plans in the basin. Lack of clarity causes distrust. Interestingly, a strong consensus of strategic experts, water scientists, and officials in Bangladesh do not doubt China's ability to construct storage dams or divert water to other Chinese rivers, despite the technical difficulties associated with doing so, examined elsewhere in this book. Water cooperation with China. While not a neighboring riparian, China shares flood warning data with Bangladesh, as it does with India. Beijing charges New Delhi for this information, yet it does not charge Dhaka as a humanitarian gesture to a friendly country often stricken by disaster. Beijing agreed to share data in 2005 to reduce the potential threat from natural disasters in Bangladesh. In keeping with China's ostensible efforts to provide humanitarian assistance to Bangladesh, China also agreed to help Bangladesh dredge its riverbeds and provide capacity building in this area. In March 2015, Bangladesh updated cooperation with China through an MoU on data sharing on the Brahmaputra. China agreed to provide water flow data from three measuring stations in Tibet once a day, via email, during the monsoon season months from June to October. China also agreed to provide rainfall data. These data are shared exclusively for the purpose of flood forecasting, because the underlying intent is disaster prevention. This MoU mirrors China's cooperation with India for the same purpose, which emerged after a flooding tragedy took place on the Brahmaputra in 2000 as discussed previously in the China and India chapters. Although Bangladesh believed that China would begin the data sharing in June 2015, the data sharing had not begun at the time of our field research. A Bangladeshi official minimized the March 2015 MoU by reasserting that it is only an understanding with China rather than an agreement. From time to time, Bangladesh gets data from China but not as systematically as was sought in the MoU. Bangladesh is optimistic, however, that this process will be regularized soon. Nevertheless, this gray area in the understanding of the MoU demonstrates the need to go beyond MoU-level cooperation to formal agreements that would guarantee Bangladesh consistent access to Chinese water data. Bangladesh's support of multilateral cooperation in the Brahmaputra Basin. Of the three basin stakeholders, Bangladesh is the most interested in pursuing basin-wide cooperation. This is not surprising, as Bangladesh has the most to lose, given its lowest position in the basin and the large extent to which rivers shape the country's topography. As one of the leaders in creating the SAARC, Bangladesh is a strong proponent of multilateral approaches. Water experts in Bangladesh generally advocate integrated river basin management, IRBM, a school of thought that has gained support in water security studies. The U.S. Water Partnership, launched by then-Secretary of State Hillary Clinton in 2012, features a definition of IRBM on its H2INFO web portal from the Nature Conservancy, the collaborative process of integrating the conservation, management, and development of water, land, and related resources across sectors within a given river basin. The purpose is to improve economic and social benefits derived from water resources in an equitable manner while preserving and, where necessary, restoring freshwater ecosystems. The Danube, for example, is cited as a river basin where stakeholders have committed to supporting the principles of IRBM. Bangladeshi experts and officials consistently report their desire to encourage this approach to basin management, given the Brahmaputra country's own challenges and threat perceptions. Bangladesh sees water cooperation as opening up greater possibilities for regional integration, such as through increased river navigation with India and hydroelectric power generation with India and China. Bangladesh believes that its geographic location is key to achieving what is often referred in the region to as connectivity, meaning connecting mainland India with its landlocked northeastern states as well as promoting interactions between China and South Asia and between South Asia and Southeast Asia. As a result, a retired Bangladeshi official envisages the Brahmaputra as a river of cooperation to contrast the benefits of working together in the Brahmaputra with the more frequently heard narrative of river conflict and water wars. Regarding India, Bangladesh believes that trade and transportation opportunities can help improve Indian mainland connectivity to the country's northeast. Currently, most movement of goods and people occurs between a few land corridors. Modi's June 2015 summit to Bangladesh freed up another avenue by getting coastal shipping access to Chittagong and Mangla ports, whereas previously Indian ships needed to travel to Singapore or Colombo and transship goods instead of sailing directly to neighboring Bangladesh. Moreover, the possibility for transit from Kolkata to Guwahati through Bangladesh on the Brahmaputra is seen as presenting a mutually beneficial opportunity for cooperation. Bangladesh believes that it not only has the moral authority, as lowest riparian, but the diplomatic justification to promote basin-wide cooperation with India on the Brahmaputra. Under the 2011 framework agreement between India and Bangladesh, India agreed under Article 2 to Common Basin Management of Common Rivers for Mutual Benefit. Because the two countries agreed to provide necessary assistance to each other to enhance navigability and accessibility of river routes and ports, Bangladesh thinks it can draw on this bilateral agreement to encourage cooperation in the Brahmaputra basin. Like India, China prefers to work bilaterally. Bangladesh and China signed a 2010 joint statement whereby they agreed to enhance transport links. Road and rail transit were the two methods discussed, given the obvious continental distance, yet the full spectrum of connectivity entails navigation along the Brahmaputra. Opportunities for cooperating on hydropower generation also are worth exploring. For example, the two countries might draw on China's dam-building expertise to help Bangladesh address its need to store monsoon water for use in the dry season. Although this idea was not specifically suggested by Bangladeshi interview respondents, they often expressed admiration for China's engineering and construction capabilities and may support such an idea if it were pursued cooperatively. Given the openings for basin-wide cooperation that Bangladesh feels it has with India and China separately, the BCIM Forum for Regional Cooperation offers an existing multilateral framework that Bangladesh could use to encourage the two upper riparians in the Brahmaputra Basin to cooperate with each other. Bangladesh participates in various multilateral organizations and frameworks such as BCIM, SAARC, and the Bangladesh Bhutan-India-Nepal, BBIN, initiative. They are all oriented toward development and regional integration. Bangladeshi interview respondents did not suggest BCIM as a framework for Brahmaputra cooperation, but this venue holds the most promise because unlike SAARC and BBIN, Bangladesh, India, and China are all equal members. Started by China in 1999 as the Kunming Initiative, named after the capital of China's southwestern Yunnan province, to pursue regional connectivity and development, the Track 2 BCIM Forum for Regional Cooperation has progressed to gain Track 1 support for a BCIM economic corridor. The Joint Study Group, JSG, of the BCIM Economic Corridor is exploring the possibilities for regional integration, even listing the prospect for cooperative undertakings on water resources that may be conserved, developed, and tapped beneficially and on climate change challenges in the minutes of the JSG's first meeting in 2013. The JSG meetings have taken place so far in Bangladesh and China, and the most recent meeting took place in Kolkata, India, in April 2017. Despite India's and China's preference to work bilaterally, New Delhi remains formally committed to the BCIM Economic Corridor while Beijing continues to be an active proponent of BCIM. Following discussions about China's BRI, and how Beijing has subsumed BCIM under BRI, New Delhi appears to have leaned back from making active progress on BCIM. However, the fact that the JSG concluded their long-awaited meeting in April 2017, originally intended for 2016, indicates that New Delhi maintains a commitment to the body and the prospect for the economic corridor despite Beijing inadvertently decreasing BCIM's appeal for India. As a result, BCIM remains a venue in which Bangladesh should pursue water resource cooperation and connectivity efforts for the Brahmaputra Basin. At the next JSG meeting to be held in Myanmar, Dhaka could use the opportunity to raise this issue. The interactions arising from Bangladesh's bilateral efforts to encourage India and China to work for basin-wide development and cooperation in the Brahmaputra could lay the foundation for what Bangladeshi experts envision as a Brahmaputra Basin Organization, a Brahmaputra Commission, or a Brahmaputra River Basin Authority. This formal body would be the most ambitious means of managing and developing the Brahmaputra Basin. It would involve including all riparians as equal parties, require regular interaction and communication, and specify a dispute settlement mechanism. Dhaka policy makers and diplomats can draw on the model of the Permanent Indus Commission, the body created to implement the 1960 Indus Waters Treaty between India and Pakistan. Before the situation in the Brahmaputra worsens, Dhaka, as the lowest of the three riparian capitals in the Brahmaputra Basin, could launch a serious effort to encourage New Delhi and Beijing to consider forming a Brahmaputra Basin Commission. Because two of the basin riparians are nuclear powers and have a border dispute, the creation of a formal commission could be a confidence-building measure that preserves communication and insulates water interactions from political-military crises. The permanent Indus Commission between India and Pakistan is seen as having such utility, despite the multiple conflicts that have broken out since the Indus Waters Treaty was signed in 1960. Creating such an organization to facilitate basin-wide water sharing and development in the Brahmaputra would probably take at least a decade. Yet, Bangladesh is the most eager of the riparians to see basin-wide cooperation materialize in the Brahmaputra and believes it has the diplomatic justification and moral authority to encourage this course of action if it chooses. Conclusion. Bangladesh clearly faces both internal and external challenges with regard to its national interests in the Brahmaputra basin. Threats to the country from India and China are well understood and will only grow in importance as these upper riparians build dams and alter the upstream ecology with adverse consequences for Bangladesh. Dhaka needs to address these challenges, certainly, but must also be proactive about addressing internal challenges. At present, Bangladesh's shortages from the Ganges River, as well as the Teesta River tributary of the Brahmaputra, capture the lion's share of public and official attention regarding the country's water security challenges. However, the Brahmaputra River basin needs to be more closely monitored to ensure that Bangladesh will be able to successfully manage the various issues, e.g., floods and droughts, associated with this river, which provides the country with its greatest source of water. Through concerted outreach to China and India to encourage discussion in multilateral venues, such as BCIM, and progress made at the bilateral level, Bangladesh may be able to lay the foundation for an eventual Brahmaputra Basin Commission. Conclusion. While the key Brahmaputra River Basin stakeholders China, India, and Bangladesh have taken modest steps at the bilateral level to cooperate in the Brahmaputra Basin, e.g., limited water data sharing and government dialogues between technical experts, clearly they are not ready to sign a trilateral or even bilateral water sharing agreement or basin development accord for the foreseeable future. Fostering water security is a long game effort, so this is not necessarily a surprising or pessimistic finding. The fact that neither interstate relations nor the water security situation in the basin is in crisis allows China, India, and Bangladesh to proceed with cooperation at a measured rather than crisis management pace. Yet circumstances in the basin continue to change, as do threat perceptions between riparians. Since the publication of our report, upon which this book is based, some developments affecting the security of the Brahmaputra basin have taken place. This includes China's announced diversion of a tributary on a temporary basis for dam construction and its halting of hydrological data supplied to India for flood forecasting purposes after the bilateral standoff involving Bhutan. Meanwhile, Bangladesh again suffered severe flooding, including of the Teesta River sources shared with India. Neither country has concluded the Teesta Accord as was expected by this point. Indeed, seen from a structural vantage point, the intensity of implications for population, territory, and industrial and agricultural development increase the farther south one moves from the origins of the Brahmaputra River in southern Tibet to the Bay of Bengal. The portions of the Brahmaputra that run through China and India are among the least populated, developed, industrialized, and farmed areas of their vast countries. It is really only in Bangladesh that the combination of population density and industrial as well as agricultural activity depends the most upon the Brahmaputra, and even in Bangladesh's case, the implications of river management on the Ganges and Teesta may be more immediately relevant than what is happening regarding the Brahmaputra. If the physical relevance of the river is greatest for Bangladesh, the political relevance is sharpest for China and India. Over time, there are steps that India, China, and Bangladesh could take at the subnational, bilateral, and multilateral levels to lay the groundwork for the three countries to work together to advance security in the Brahmaputra River Basin. Beginning cooperative efforts on water resources, e.g., through bilateral accords, trilateral consultations, and even a multilateral MAO, could pave the way for a new entity, possibly a Brahmaputra Basin Commission, through which a water management and development accord could be designed and implemented. The appendix presents practical recommendations for how all three countries can begin to work together bilaterally and multilaterally, as well as improve their domestic management of Brahmaputra resources. These policy options are organized by country within these three levels of analysis for ease of reading. A final section acknowledges the important role for the international community, i.e., international financial institutions and extra-regional countries with capacity-building arms, to play. Advocating cooperation solely for the narrow aims of water-sharing rights does not appeal to upper riparians. More promising is an appeal to the shared interests of these countries for the development of the river basin and greater regional economic integration. This connectivity could facilitate the expansion of transport and infrastructure options, such as river navigation networks and joint hydropower projects. Instead of a river of contention or uncertainty, the Brahmaputra could become a river of cooperation for its stakeholders as the region continues to develop and grow. For future researchers of the Brahmaputra River Basin, there is much ground to cover. The literature begs for more contributions from both the scientific and security studies communities. Regarding the latter, an issue we faced during our work was that we continually had to approach our work on the Brahmaputra region in an integrated manner. For the study of the international relations of Asia, analysts often divide themselves into scholars of East Asia or South Asia due to the sheer size of the continent, yet the geography and security dynamics of the Brahmaputra basin do not lend themselves to this type of distinction. Going forward, analysts will need to approach this complex basin with greater attention to the bilateral and subnational linkages between the actors in this Asian subregion. More scientific study of the Brahmaputra basin is required to develop a deeper understanding of the long-term implications of current environmental conditions, such as recurring flooding. Most importantly, these scientific findings and implications need to be effectively communicated to non-scientists, government officials working on developing policy in each of the Brahmaputra basin countries.